about.
You got to put it in perspective.
And we're back. We are now ready to heighten our foreplay to petting. The male may fondle her back and arms. The female, if she is so inclined, may latch on to his honker.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
What one plant weed said to the other plant weed? I'm a stoner and you are err.
Oh my god, this is real. I just assumed you were lying.
Is your girlfriend still on fire?
No.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
Is your vehicle still on fire?
It's hilarious, huh?
Sir, is your vehicle still on fire?
I just heard you smart.
And now,
these two have been huge disappointments to me.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:34. It is Wednesday, the 29th of April.
Congratulations to our friend Chip. First out of the gate. Let me say that.
Yeah. Wait,
Chip,
what are we celebrating?
This morning,
yeah.
that she's the new light heavyweight champion of the UFC.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Well, I figured since there's not another champion until they fight for it,
right.
I'm going to hold the title just in the meantime.
So you'll hold the title till there's an actual fight?
Yeah, because there's no one taking it, okay. So why
but
not?
But you're not going to be there to defend your title, though,
nah.
At UFC 187.
Technically, no.
You're just going to give it up.
Yeah, I mean, they are light.
It'd be awesome, by the way, if she put the belt on and just took her right down to the ground. She just fell right on.
That belt is so much bigger than her.
Yep.
And by the way, isn't Chip about 40 pounds too light to be a light heavyweight champion?
I'm more of like a lot straw weight. What is that? What's the smallest weight?
It's not fly. What is the smallest weight? I don't remember.
Straw weight.
Is there something?
Straw weight?
But you're not even there, Chip.
I don't think you're straw weight.
You're like embryo weight. Embryo weight.
Your wet dog weight is about what you are.
Paperweight.
Fetus weight.
Paperweight. Speaking of sports, Dave.
What?
Producer Dave.
What?
Blah.
I'm not here to mock, by the way.
You are always here to mock.
I'm a Clippers fan for Dave. I'm rooting for the Clippers. I want to see the Clippers win the championship. I'm very sad about what
happened.
Well,
the NBA doesn't.
I'll just go there.
I'll just go there. At least someone does.
All right. So tell me what happened.
What do you think happened, Kevin?
I heard the headline. I just don't know why you think it happened.
Let me ask some questions, and then maybe Dave can explain. First of all, I'm no NBA expert.
What?
All of you know more about basketball than I do.
Yes.
Why is it so goddamn hard to hit a free throw?
That's a good question. Why
are the Clippers, who are professional basketball players, seemingly incapable of a free throw?
Listen, just because they missed...
They missed 16 in the game last
night. Just because
they
missed 16, you know, and most of them were... DeAndre Jordan, but you know Blake missed some big free throws at the end of the game.
He missed two with 39 seconds left. He missed
and
two,
and then Matt Barnes missed one. You know, I don't know. But more importantly, I don't know why they can't make a three pointer.
Well,
you know?
Three pointers you can go hot and cold. Free throws you should be
one for
warm,
whatever they.
Fundamental.
Yeah, one for
one
whatever
for
they shot. Yeah, last night was embarrassing.
It's not ideal.
It was embarrassing.
But let me ask you the free throw question again, Dave. Isn't that something that you can practice and get better at? Don't you have nothing but time in your life to practice free throws?
The Clippers actually have three of the best free throw shooters in the NBA, which are
Chris Paul, Jamal. To play them last night? Or?
Yeah, Chris Paul, Jamal, and J.J. Redick, who missed one last night as well.
But I feel like any basketball player should be able to be good at free throws. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's,
you're not
it's
wrong
something
about
the motion and their hand size.
Nope.
And no, really.
You know what it is? It's not practicing. Because it's the only part of the NBA game that kids can master because they can stand at that free throw line.
Not true at all. But
isn't there that amateur
guy? How is that not true at all?
Because then that's like saying, oh, well, a jump shot's so easy because you just shoot it and it's if you can master it. No, it's not. It's
it is. You can master it by
people like trying to defend you and swat it away.
No, but I mean, you could have an open jump shot and still miss it, which I'm not saying that's easier than a free throw, but people like DeAndre Jordan, his hands are so big that he doesn't have the shooting motion.
Here's what I'll say. Yeah. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
When another team can foul any one of your players who can't can't make free throws. And I'm talking about the Lakers as well when they did it with Shaq. It was embarrassing.
They did that to DeAndre Jordan last night like 5 or 6 times on purpose, right, Dave?
Yes, yes.
And everybody's like, oh, we should make a rule against them. I'm like, no, shoot free throws.
Hack Jordan, that's awful. Come on.
All right, let's move on to crazy. Let's move on to the fix, because I legitimately don't understand. Explain to Kevin what happened with 4.3 seconds left, the controversial call that, had it gone the Clippers' way, may have
made actually, a different outcome. Well, actually, for the first time, that was the right call at the end of the game.
The goaltending.
It was the goaltending, offensive goaltending. Yeah, okay. DeAndre touched the ball well in the cylinder. But
what does that mean, Dave? Explain that to me as a
layperson. You cannot touch the basketball when it's above, when it's over the rim.
Oh,
it has,
I see.
It has to be coming out of the rim.
So you
and
can,
away
if he had waited 1 second for it to fall off the rim, he could have knocked it
was,
up and in.
It was going to. Yeah, exactly. Like earlier in the game, Matt Barnes did it, and they called it an offensive goaltending when it clearly wasn't, because the ball was out of the rim. Half the ball has to be away from the rim.
Gotcha. So it was the right call, even
it was the right call. Yeah,
he protested like he
didn't
touch it. Shot at.
Yeah, because he was saying that, he was claiming, which was completely wrong, that he didn't touch it, but he did.
By the way, I think that these guys, especially at full speed, they're just making a decision.
Yeah.
It's
there's the ball, I'm going to put it in.
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know.
It's instinct, you know, you go for it.
Where's the fix? I'm missing the
Where
fix.
Where is the fix?
That's I mean, listen, if you want to call that travel on Blake Griffin when, you know, it was an and one, they would have took the lead and possibly gone up two with about a minute left. Sure. You know, Chris Paul got a technical for throwing the ball at the ref after a made San Antonio basket.
That's a technical.
That seems like a technical foul.
No, no, no. He threw it at him, like, to take it out.
He tossed it to him.
Like
he
didn't throw it at him.
The
ball?
Yeah, he threw it at him, and, it, you know, that was a technical that...
Wait, after a made basket?
It was after a San Antonio made basket, because he wasn't going to take it out, so he threw it to the ref, as you usually do. You know?
David, if I were a Spurs fan, could I have... come up with a couple of picayune calls against me that I wouldn't like?
No, I don't think so.
You think it was all the NBA coming down on the Clippers?
I'm not going to blame the refs because the Clippers played horrible. But I'm just saying there was some dicey calls that you got to let them play.
But aren't
you
know, there always some dicey calls?
When it's one-sided, you know, like there was a play where Chris Paul dove for the ball on a loose ball and they said that he hit Danny Green on the face when they were both going for the ball, which everyone has a right for the ball. And... that's another dicey call, you know.
It was more of a caress, right?
No, he didn't hit him.
Oh,
they were both going for the ball.
Sorry.
Yeah. And then, you know, Tony Parker going to the baseline, holding Jamal Crawford into him. That's another, you know, sure, they missed that one. I'm not saying that was on purpose, but they just missed that one. Tim Duncan
over
the back.
In your mind.
There's a lot of, like, really, you're going to call that when...
All right, let me ask you a question.
The other side is you fall down and go, boom, like, cry and... it's annoying.
Did you just say fall down and go boom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's what Ginobili does. He just falls down and goes, blah! And then they call a foul.
Let me ask another question.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I was an Argentina player. So,
is there a difference between, in your mind, between refs making mistakes and doing the best they can or refs actually trying to sway the game?
Listen, let's be honest. No, the refs aren't trying to sway the game. But
the NBA is.
You're just emotional right now. Is what's
no,
happening.
No, no. I'm just saying,
it hurts.
Like it does. There's a lot of BS calls that went against the Clippers where it's like, dude, you either got to let them play or make the correct call.
Well, I mean, just make the correct call.
And I don't understand why. And maybe you guys could ask Rome or you know Matt or somebody why in an NBA playoff game. Like the offensive goaltending, they reviewed it, and that was the correct call. But earlier in the game, it's just an as important call. Why can't you review it back then? You know,
that's a good question.
You know,
I don't think
obviously
automatically
what happens in the last.
Game? No, they only review the last 2 minutes.
That's what I'm saying.
Which is dumb. Yeah. Because if you're gonna review something at the end of the game, why not review it during the game? In the NFL, there's every play that's touchdowns are reviewed, turnovers are reviewed.
Yeah, but
well,
so plays aren't.
I mean, in basketball, the only thing that matters is the last 2 minutes. Let's be honest.
That's true.
Yeah. Wow.
They might as well just start at 0-0 with 2 minutes to go and just
play 2 minute game.
Play a 2 minute game. Well, that's like, so they're down.
That traveling was an awful call, and it's like, well, how do you call that when? You know, he's pushed and he gets fouled.
See, that's my issue is
there was no travel. It's like, why isn't that reviewable?
My opinion on that is there's traveling pretty much
every play. Oh, my
God. You
should have seen some of the travels. Like,
right.
You know, Chris Paul was the benefit of a non-travel called one when they fouled him with, I think, less than 2 minutes, where they fouled him and he took a couple of extra steps and it was an and one and that brought the Clippers closer.
Right.
Sure. But
sure, that wasn't our favor, but the NBA hates us.
But can we discuss Tim Duncan? The guy's like 78, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How amazing is he?
He was he's as good as he's ever been.
He's Kevin's favorite player. He's Kevin's favorite player.
He's 39 years old. He is killing it.
Yeah, that's crazy that he's 39 and still killing it. That is.
Killing it.
Well, it's a 3-2 series lead for the Spurs, and they play in San Antonio tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It does seem like this series has been going on since 1999, mm-hmm. by the way. But we're up to game 6. That's going to be tomorrow night. Well, Dave, fingers crossed, man. I hope the refs get paid off in your favor for tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. Jeez.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Just right on. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Yeah, look, I don't want to be rude, but I sort of hate that lame, stupid, dorkwad turd of an idea.
I could say that about so many things on this show. Allison Janney is going to be on the program. One of her favorite actresses.
She's the best.
She's currently starring on Mom. We also are going to ask why you're dressing up your dogs and stop that. Comedian Eddie Izzard will be on the program today. Very excited to have him in. We got a brand new internet roundup, and Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock's here.
You don't know, man.
I don't. Have we hated that song normally?
I have to live by your rules.
Well, I'm saying I don't. You got
to
give us a
boss of me, Daddy-O. Get back to Squaresville.
Hey, that's the voice of Ralph Garman.
Maybe.
Throwing down.
Maybe
time
not.
Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on, dude?
You got no proof.
Well, we're looking at you.
Yeah, well, what if I'm an impersonator? What if I'm one of those Ralph Garman imposters you see in Vegas?
There are a lot of them. That's true.
Right. Hey, before I get to show business news, how about tickets to the K-Rock Microbrew Kentucky Derby Day Party?
Yeah!
I don't think we have a winner yet.
No. Oh.
It's happening this Saturday at Santa Anita Park in lovely Arcadia, California. It is going to be quite the event. You get to party on the infield right there at the track. There's booze. There's food. There's even gambling. They will run horses around you, and you can bet on which one will finish the race first. I love that idea. Who came up with that? It's a band called Seedless. They'll be performing. It's going to be a great event. It's going to be a beautiful day out there at the track. I would like to giveaway right now a 4-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Microbrew Kentucky Derby Day Party. Here's what you get. Free admission for you and 3 friends. Backstage access, drink tickets, and $106 in a voucher that you can use to bet on the ponies. Call me now. You have to be 21 years of age or older to attend. So let's make it caller number 21 at 1-800-520-1067. Call now.
Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom. Excuse me. Did you know, boys and girls, that if you wanted to go binge watch Seinfeld somewhere on the interwebs, you couldn't do that? That was not an option for you. Not available with any of the services.
I think I would assume every TV show is available to
you would think.
Binge watch. That's not, huh?
No. For a while, it had been available on Sony TV's ad-supported Crackle video platform, so you could watch it, then you'd have to sit through the commercials, you know, every one of the time you could see those little dots on the line.
Yep.
That's a ball buster.
Well, it's a ball buster because they put 5 commercials there.
You're sitting and waiting. Oh, okay. I will buy whatever you want me to buy. Just please show me the rest of my television program. So they finally made a deal. I'll tell you, it is just crazy how all of these video streaming services are now just battling it out for content. And the bidding wars are getting ridiculous.
I can't believe how much money is involved in this.
Hulu won this one versus Netflix or one of the other platforms. But Hulu just signed a licensing deal with Sony TV for every episode of Seinfeld. It roughly works out to about $1 million an episode.
Wow. Whoa.
Which means $180 million is what they're spending on Seinfeld, a show that's been off the air for 20 years.
Wow.
And is on in reruns on multiple channels around the clock. You'd be hard-pressed to turn on your TV at any time of the day or night and not find Seinfeld on TV.
Yep.
Wow, that's crazy.
But Hulu is banking on the fact that people want to binge-watch it. So they've landed the SVOD rights and are paying and $80 million to Sony TV for the rights.
And by the way, this is a show that was from 25 years ago?
Yeah.
It's not like this is Breaking Bad or something that people are still hot for. You know what I mean? But apparently, you know, some shows just, they seem to have no burn. They just seem to last forever.
This is similar to the deal that they just, Netflix just made for Friends. About $1 million an episode, too. So.
Now, let me ask you guys. Either of those shows something you watch?
I will never watch another episode of either of those shows. I've seen them all. I've enjoyed them all. But I'm not going back.
If
I've got way too much real television now to watch.
That's how I feel.
If I'm flipping around and there's Seinfeld, I'll probably watch it. But I wouldn't with Friends.
You wouldn't go out of your way to seek it out?
No, I wouldn't seek it out. No. But it's not to say a lot of people wouldn't.
I guess they're banking on it.
Yep.
This is great. This is my favorite thing now. Kris Jenner just looking like a douche or a douchess.
Now what?
Well, you know, when Bruce Jenner was interviewed by Diane Sawyer, Kris Jenner went ape-ess, apparently, saying how she felt mortified and she was embarrassed. Somehow she made it all about her, right?
Sure.
She also claimed that, well, some people thought it was weird that there was no statement from Kris Jenner regarding the interview. She wasn't featured on the interview. And she said, well, ABC News never contacted me. They never contacted me for a statement.
Right.
Which turns out to be a lie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And I wouldn't blame them for not contacting her, though, because they're divorced. He doesn't really want her to be around.
But, Kevin, how do you do that story and not talk to the soon-to-be ex-wife?
I think if you
talk
have...
to his first wife.
If you have Bruce, you say...
The first two wives, they got statements from him.
Yeah, I mean...
From them and the kids. They went to the kids for statements.
But don't they have to ask Bruce? Pretty much.
No.
Do you want
if you're a reporter, you do your due diligence, you're contacting all the people involved in that story to try to amass as much information as possible.
It was glaringly obvious that she was missing.
I thought the worst of her, when I heard no comment, I assumed because she was selling her comment to the highest bidder.
Well, Kris Jenner claims she was never contacted by ABC News.
And you're saying that's false.
Well, Diane Sawyer now is going ballistic. She's furious about the claim that she wasn't contacted. Because Diane says she's a seasoned journalist, and she feels it's insulting for a reality star to insinuate that she's lying about the fact that she reached out to Kris Jenner for a comment.
Interesting.
Good for her.
I am Team Diane on this argument,
too,
by the way.
So let's get him in the ring. What do you say? Come on!
I'm Team whoever's not Chris.
Guns or knives?
Such a big liar.
Guns or knives? Guns or knives?
Chip, there's your undercard fight for your light heavyweight battle.
There we go. Hey, Courtney Stodden, remember her?
Yes.
Courtney Stodden was the 4-year-old girl that married a 75-year-old man or something.
She's
like
a really, really stupid one, right?
I don't think she was four.
Of all the reality stars, yes, she's the really stupid one.
Right. But I mean, exceptionally stupid.
She was, what, 16 when she married 50-year-old Doug Hutchinson?
Yeah, I think that's
about right, yeah. With her parents' permission, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then, they split up when she was 18, remember, because she decided she wanted her life. Well, apparently she is now shopping. Anyone want to fill in the blank? You want to play Mad Libs?
A reality show.
No.
Better.
Good guess, though,
sex
Kevin.
Sex tape.
There we go. Shopping her adult video. Apparently, Vivid is taking a look at it. They're considering purchasing it. It is a solo venture, apparently. It is Courtney Stodden just taking care of business. But her on-again, off-again husband, Doug Hutchinson, says it's some of the most unique footage I've ever seen.
What?
Really?
Wow.
I can't, is there does an alien show up at some point?
That would be worth it, I think.
That would be unique.
Yeah.
Other than that, we've all seen most of those parts.
Do most of those things.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, actress Megan Boone. Oh, how I love me some Megan Boone.
Worst FBI agent in history of television.
How dare you? She's, of course, Liz on The Blacklist.
Oh, she's a new FBI agent, Bean. She's new at it. Of course she's not great.
She is new.
She was a profiler. She wasn't even a field agent.
Correct.
When she was forced into service by Raymond Reddington.
They could have given her 45 minutes of training, though. They could have at least done that.
You're the worst person in the world.
You are a terrible human being.
Go away.
So she didn't go into every single dangerous warehouse by herself.
That show is perfect.
They could have at least told her about backup.
And every episode is a gem, and you're bad.
Allie, help me out on this. Come on.
I love it as well.
I've never watched it.
Never watched Blacklist?
I know.
Get out of this room.
Oh, now I'm the worst.
Now you're the worst.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
No, Bean's still worse.
Yeah.
Okay. Yay.
Anyway, she's 32 years old.
Because there's a chance Allie might watch it.
That's right.
Not Bean.
Uma Thurman's 45 years old. Michelle Pfeiffer, 57. What water is she drinking? What kind of regimen does she enact with blood rituals and slaying of goats to keep looking like she looks at 57?
Yeah, she's doing something.
It's ridiculous. Daniel Day-Lewis is 58 years old. Kate Mulgrew from Orange is the New Black. 60 years old. Singer Willie Nelson is 82 years old today. He's going to be dead soon. That'll be good.
Don't say that. You know how pre-sad I am.
And we were just talking about him. Jerry Seinfeld is 61 years old today. And with his stake in his sitcom, he's probably about another $30 million richer today.
So. Yeah.
Happy birthday. That's a good birthday.
Yes, it is.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And if you want to see Vance Joy performing that song live, you can at the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2015 coming up on Saturday, May 16th at Irvine Meadows. Get all the details at krock.com. Make sure you're a street team member because tickets are going on sale Friday at noon. You don't want to miss out on that. Hey, you guys want to play a quick round of B Makes Us Guess?
B Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
B Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
Feel that all of those clips were necessary.
Yep. I like when Omar does an intro. It has nothing to do with Bean. It's just like
throws in. He's a dick.
He's a
just
dick.
Kind of mixes it up.
Seriously. Look, I don't know about you guys, but I love lists. There's something about the orderly fashion of numbers.
Asperger's.
So every once in a while, one comes along that I think might be fun to play on the air. And Ralph, you kind of brought this one to mind earlier in the week when you were talking about the phenomenal box office of the Furious 7 film. Mm. We discussed how Furious 7 is now the fifth worldwide highest grossing movie of all time.
Yes.
Number five on the list. It's only been out for a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it might be fun on today's Bean Makes His Guess for you guys to come up with the other 9 movies in the top 10 worldwide all-time grosses. Now, these are not adjusted for inflation, so here's a hint for you. All of these movies are from the last 20 years.
So Gone with the Wind isn't there.
So there's no Gone with the Wind, as there would be if it was adjusted for inflation. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So all of the movies are from the last 20 years. You already have number 5 at Furious 7. What are the others in the all-time worldwide top grossing? Kevin, as usual, you get to go first.
Paul Blart 2.
What the?
I'm sorry, no. Paul Blart 2 did not make the list, but an excellent guess.
Titanic. Yeah.
No,
Titanic is number 2.
Wow, that was a joke one.
No, it wasn't.
He was kidding. He was kidding.
Allie's serious about this game.
I got
she's,
number 2.
So
she's
bad
got
at this.
Some personality riding on this.
Titanic is number 2, and here's another hint. It is also the oldest movie in the top 10. Titanic from 1997 is the oldest movie.
Near, far, wherever you are.
That's the one. Ralph Garman.
Avatar.
Yeah, number 1.
Yeah.
Avatar. By the way, by quite a large margin, that worldwide gross is $2.788 billion.
Booyah.
And what's second
How about
place?
That?
What's second,
second place
what's
is Titanic with 2.186. So huge.
Just a half a billion
number
more.
One and number 2. And by the way, both James Cameron movies. What are the chances that one guy has the two top-grossing movies of
That's
all time?
That's interesting.
And he also, if I'm not mistaken, directed The Abyss. Wasn't he the guy who directed The Abyss?
I have heard that as well, yes.
Some guy asked
I feel like we're going off topic.
If he directed The Abyss. And
Allie McKay, what's your guess,
pretty
please?
Interesting.
I was going to say Avatar, so I'm sad. Harry Potter?
Could you be more specific, please?
The one that was real good when Harry's like, "Oh, I'm from England." And
that one.
I am going to give it to you.
Thank
yes,
you.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, which
that
I believe
one.
Was the last film in the series, is number 4 on the list of top 10 worldwide grossing movies.
Top 10 Monkey. Worldwide.
What are you looking down at? What do you got there?
I made a few notes, but
you're a cheater.
But Harry Potter was one of them.
You're a cheater.
No, I'm saying when he
cheated. Cheater.
Every movie that's coming to my head
is bad.
Is before
involves Kevin James.
Yeah.
Is it Paul Blart the first one?
Boy, honestly, I don't know. Maybe
really, you're out of movies.
Is Furious?
He did name one.
Is Furious 7 already in there? Right, one of the other
Furious
movies.
That's number 5.
Is that your guess? One of the other Furious movies? No, I'm sorry. No other Furious movies made the list. Ralph Garman.
Star Wars. Let's see which one I want to pick. The Phantom Menace.
Good guess. Not in the top 10. Number 7. Number 17.
What?
I thought that may have been older. That's. I didn't go Star Wars just because I thought that may have been older.
It was 99.
The Phantom Menace was
came out after Tantat.
Okay.
Yeah, 99. Mm-hmm. All right, Ralph Garman.
I just said Phantom Menace.
That was Ralph Garman.
Phantom Menace. It's me. It's me over here. I'm the guy over here with the hat. Hi.
I know it was like number one for animation. Shrek?
I'm sorry. There is no Shrek on this list.
Oh.
Good genre.
All right,
though,
we're running out of time here because we have Allison Janney going to be joining us in a couple of minutes.
You have the list, Alec Trebek. That's why you're all snotty.
Want to take another round? Everybody gets another guess.
Avengers.
Could you be more specific?
There's only one Avengers. Movie. Hasn't even come out.
That Avengers is number 3, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? Avengers, Marvel's The Avengers is number 3, 1.5.
I didn't know. Avengers. What more do you want from the guy?
He was going to discount
because
that.
Because Marvel's? He didn't say Marvel's?
No. I thought Ultron coming out Friday was the third. It's only the second, apparently, right? Yeah. So I thought there was another one. Yes, Marvel's The Avengers. Great guess, Kevin. You number 3. Bastard. So we've got number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, and number 5. I consider this pretty successful.
Woo!
All right, let's see if you can come up with some more.
Dark Knight.
No, I'm sorry. No.
What? What?
Allie McKay, final
Transformers?
Oh, could you be more specific?
The one where they're like, more than meets the eye. That one?
Did they transform?
Change into things?
Yeah.
If that's Dark of the Moon, yes, it's number 8 that on the one. List. So well done.
Well done.
Here's the only ones we missed, guy. By the way, Ralph, you're going to kick yourself when I tell you what number 6 is. You're going to beat yourself around the face and shoulders.
I hope that happens.
Number 6, with $1.274 billion, is a little movie called Frozen.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Sure.
Number 7 is Iron Man 3.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
8 was Transformers Dark of the Moon. Number 9, I'm surprised nobody came up with any of the Lord of the Rings films, but the last one, Return of the King, was number 9. And then number 10, Skyfall.
Skyfall. Sure.
Is this where Ralph beats himself up? Or?
Top 10 worldwide box office grosses. This has been Beat Mix's Guess.
Beat Mix's Guess, yeah.
AWOL Nation, of course, another band playing the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. K-Rock.com for all the details. Hey, give me a little of that mom theme, would you please? Who's better than Allison Janney? Seriously, who?
The Pope?
I don't know.
No,
not the Pope.
Not even a little.
All right. Sorry.
I can't see the Pope carrying a TV show the way Allison does. Mom, of course, airs on CBS Thursday nights at 9. And I think this is great timing, Miss Janney, as we welcome you back to the Kevin and Bean Show, that you're coming on to promote the season finale tomorrow night. That's a great move. Do we have her? Did we lose her?
Allison, are you there? Gone.
This is a surprise to me.
That was a shorter interview than I was hoping.
Yeah.
I was hoping
it was the Pope thing.
She may have been offended by the Pope.
I mean, it's kind of a compliment that the first person Kevin thought that might ever be anywhere near as good as Allison Janney was the Pope. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I thought it was a compliment.
I think so.
All right, we're going to try take two here.
Hopefully, it'll be like 25% longer. We'll be happy.
I thought we weren't cool enough to have Allison on, and perhaps I was right.
Hey, Allison,
are you there?
I am here.
Ah, yes!
I fell off the planet and I came back. I'm sorry.
I know. That was super weird. Well, we always say yes when we hear you're available, but then we're always surprised that you want to come on any radio show because you don't have to do this. Why are you up in the middle of the goddamn night talking about your TV show?
I tell you, I'm not a big early riser. I don't know how you guys do it, but because I really love the show, Mom, and I want to I want people to watch it because I love this job, and I think it's a really great program that we're putting out there. I like the issues that we tackle every week and how funny it is, and I believe in it, and I really want to keep this job for a while.
You mentioned keep this job twice.
Yes, that's very honest. I appreciate that. Speaking of the issues that you guys talk about on this show, there aren't a lot of shows that handle the alcoholism the way that you guys do, where you actually go into and show the Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and you show kind of the consequences of it and stuff. But it's also a comedy. It's such a fine line that you walk. But I wonder, what kind of response do you get from people who really do have drinking problems or are in the program to the way you do it?
Mostly the ones that I've had are very positive. And on Twitter, I'll get to you. I don't scroll through the Twitter feed all the time, but sometimes after a show, I'll see, you know, want to see what people are saying. And a lot of people are just very grateful that we're showing what they're going through on there. And thank you so much for this. You know, my sister is going through this, and I'm so happy to see it, you know, sort of, I guess it destigmatizes it, showing what happens in the meetings and showing that people, and it's also so, it's what so many people are dealing with nowadays. It resonates because everybody has somebody who's going through something like this on some, you know, whether it's recovery from, you know, last night or, you know, from, you know, larger issues like drugs and alcohol. And
I was thinking the same thing when I was watching last week's episode, which is Bean's question kind of reformed, is that I would think people would go, hey, that's not what it's like. Or, yeah. Hey, yeah. You're making light of it. Or, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of ways people could take it south, but you guys do such a good job of walking that line.
Yeah, I remember, like, one of the first shares I had to do with Bonnie in one of the meetings, and I was being so, you know, reverent and very serious about my, you know, what I was talking about, and the writers were like, no. You know, people in these rooms wear their stories, like, badges of honor, and they you know, they can laugh at themselves, and that's how they're able to get through it, is through the laughter. And I mean, there's obviously some, you know, painful moments too, which we do deal with, but I think a lot of times they there's a lot of humor in those rooms, and that's what, that was really freeing for Anna and I to be there. And I'm like, oh my god, of course it makes sense, why wouldn't they wouldn't be all this like, oh, I used to do this, I was terrible, you know. You have to laugh, and that's what helps you get through it.
It seems rare that a comedy is able to help people, and people tend to personalize this show because nothing is off limits. Homelessness, cancer, a huge death, alcoholism. Is there anything you guys are looking forward to tackling that you haven't?
Oh my gosh! I every time that, you know, an issue comes up, when we had to deal with Alvin's death, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the writers throw at us next season. Obviously, we're dealing with some pretty hard stuff right now with my character Bonnie relapsing with pain pills, and I mean, it's so like, how do people deal with that when they're addicts and they, you know, wrench their back out? How do you deal with the pain? How do you live with that? And how do you get through that? Obviously, Bonnie didn't do it very well, but now she's, you know, she's gotten a DUI and she can't drive, and it just throws a wrench into everything. And Bonnie and Christy, Anna's character, are just at odds with each other again in a really bad way, in a way that makes
it's getting ugly
forever.
Anna's character is not happy with you.
No, she's not.
I think it's safe to say. Yeah.
I know. We're talking to Allison Janney. We're talking about Mom, which airs Thursday nights at 9 on CBS. Season 2 finale is going to be tomorrow night. It has been renewed for a third season. I know you have to go, but I have to ask one more question. When you filmed last week's episode and you guys were getting off the bus, I was thinking, when was the last time Allison Janney personally was on a bus?
That's a very fair question. And I have to say, the last time I was on a bus was in that scene with...
Well, you're awesome on the show. You guys deserve all the success you've had. It's always great to get a few minutes with you. Thank you, Allison.
Allie, thank you so much. Have
thank
a good
you.
Morning.
Thank you.
I'm still chuckling over that audio that we played yesterday of Stephen Hawking, maybe the smartest guy in the world, the theoretical physicist who was asked that question about One Direction. He's so cool and handled that. And I don't know if they planned that out ahead of time, but he handled that with such humor.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't expect him to be so funny, but he really is. If you missed it yesterday, here's the question again. The guy on stage was reading questions that were submitted from the audience to ask Stephen Hawking, and here's the answer he came up with.
What do you think is the cosmological effect of Zayn leaving One Direction and consequently breaking the hearts of millions of teenage girls across the world?
Finally, a question about something important. My advice to any heartbroken young girl is to pay close attention to the study of theoretical physics. Because one day, there may well be proof of multiple universes. It would not then be beyond the realms of possibility that somewhere outside of our own universe lies another different universe. And in that universe, Zayn is still in One Direction.
Good news.
This girl may be like to know that in another possible universe, she and Zane are happily married.
He's giving
making teenage girls happy.
Yeah.
So we thought it might be fun, since we have a good relationship with the doctor, to get Stephen Hawking back on the phone. And yesterday on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, we were asking you what kinds of questions would you ask Stephen Hawking. And we have some of those that we're going to run by the man himself right now. Hi, Dr. Hawking. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. Thank you.
Well, we're great, but I was surprised to see that you will answer questions even if they don't have anything to do with science.
I am freaking smart.
Right.
I know a lot of things about a lot of things.
Okay. Well, let me ask you one that one of our listeners weighed in with this morning after that heartbreaking loss for the Los Angeles Clippers last night. He wants to know if the Clippers will ever win a championship.
My advice to any heartbroken Clippers fan from the game last night is, there is no other universe where the Clippers will ever win a championship.
That seems a little harsh.
No universe ever, ever, ever.
So Zane from One Direction might be married to this girl in another universe, but the Clippers...
But there is no chance that the Clippers will ever win a championship.
Okay. All right, Carla from Los Angeles wants to know if you have an idea who's going to be the president in 2016. Can you guess that?
We will all be shocked and surprised when Rob Corddry becomes president.
Oh, that would be...
Are you serious?
That would be so awesome.
No.
Oh.
He's not serious. Just a joke.
No.
You got us all excited for a guy wearing clown makeup. All right. How about this one? What's the worst place to be right... I think this guy is joking, but there's a lot of bad news coming out of two spots in the world right now, Doctor. What's the worst place to be right now, Nepal or Baltimore?
Neither. The worst place to be right now is Khloe Kardashian's vagina.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Whoa.
What?
Wow.
Allie, did you see one you liked?
I see them.
With a big fight coming up this weekend, I want to know the answer to this as well. Mayweather or Pacquiao?
It doesn't matter who wins that fight, because I will kick the ass of whoever wins. I want winner. I will kick their biatch ass.
So you're throwing that out now. You've got next.
Bring it, biatches.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
I know you're very smart and obviously very funny. I don't see you much winning a boxing match, though.
I've been saving up my energy for all these years.
Yes, you have.
Wait till I get out of this goddamn chair.
With all the places that you've been able to travel and all the experience you've had and the Theory of Everything movie and everything you went through with going through Hollywood and everything, is there anything left that you want to do, Stephen Hawking? What is on your bucket list?
I want a six-way with the Spice Girls.
Wow. Just going right for six, all six.
Yes, I want to investigate all of the black holes.
Okay.
In the universe.
Oh, in the universe.
Okay.
Okay, good.
That was my second thing on my bucket list. Had nothing to do with the black girl from the Spice Girls.
Understood. Okay, good.
Sorry for the confusion.
All right, Jim in Woodland Hills wants to know, what is the most confusing subject that you've ever tackled?
I have dealt with many different physics questions that are a bit mind-bending.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But nothing is more confusing to me than Kevin's question for Muse.
What's that?
Kevin's question for Muse.
From this show? Were you listening to the show when we had Muse in?
Oh, hell yes. What the F were you talking about?
Well, I guess I have to play the moment with, so we can...
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of do you feel the emotion when you wrote it later when you're playing it? And that was a poorly asked question. I'm gonna take that. Can I take that again?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Holy crap, you are dumb.
And it was your heart on the line. I really f***ed it up this time. Deny my dear. Deny my dear.
Hey! No, we don't hay this.
I thought we were haying.
There's songs you hay, and there's songs you don't hay.
What are the rules?
And you should learn the difference.
Oh, I hate you.
And now it's time for the showbiz beat. You're welcome. You're not going to play along. I got to do everybody's job. Not the first time.
It is funny to think that Ralph could come in and do a one-man show of the Kevin and Bean program and just do all of our voices.
I'm going to make your guess now. I guess for Micah. I haven't told you what the subject is yet.
I'd like to do that sometime.
Hey, Eddie Izzard, later on this morning's Kevin and Bean show, by the way, and our friend Adam Carolla as well. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Eddie Izzard is... There's very few run-ins you get with actual geniuses, but he's one, right?
Yeah, he's brilliant.
He's one. That brain is different than everybody else's brain.
Yes. Yes, it is.
He's so smart, so funny.
And kind and does not put on airs, very approachable, very likable.
Mm-hmm. And a really good actor.
He's got everything going on.
Now, What about him being a close personal friend, Ralph? You ever think about that?
Instead of
stalking the guy in your neighborhood, maybe you and Eddie Izzard should hang out.
No. It would be like a cat wanting to be friends with Stephen Hawking. I mean, it'd be that kind of drop off in like intellect, and I got no business hanging around Eddie Izzard. It's just there's no point.
That's how I always feel when he comes in. I was like, okay. I just don't want to sound like too stupid.
I'm just out of my league here. Yeah. I just want to try to tread water until he goes away. Just not embarrass myself. That's the best I can hope for.
Tread water till he goes away.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to this.
Sad news in the world of entertainment. Jack Eli has passed away.
Jack Eli is the guy from...
Kevin, you know.
That show where...
Founding member and lead singer of the Kingsmen... Kingsmen, of course, the band who gave us...
I'm sorry, there's no way the kids love the Kingsmen.
The kids love the Kingsmen.
They do not. That is a lie.
Everybody loves the Kingsmen.
Back in 1963, they dropped a little gem on us that we continue to enjoy to this day. A little tune I like to call Louie Louie.
Still one of the greatest rock and roll songs ever, by the way.
Are you doing that because he sings it that way or you don't know the lyrics?
No one knows the lyrics.
Okay.
At the time when it was on the radio, the FBI was convinced the song was obscene. And the FBI. And they actually investigated it.
Because they were afraid it was saying words...
It can't be used? Obscene, pornographic language was being used on the radio.
Oh, there were stations that wouldn't play it. There were record stores that wouldn't sell it. I mean, it was an outrage for some people.
A 455-page investigative report from the FBI is available on that song. That's how your tax dollars were being spent in 1963.
A 455-pager?
Yes. And they found no objectionable language by the time the investigation was done.
Huh.
What was the famous takeaway from that report? Unintelligible at any speed,
that's what they
called it.
Yep. So there you go. All right. Rest in peace, Jack.
That is a song, though, as you mentioned, Ralph, from 1963 that I feel like is one of those kind of forever songs.
Absolutely, yeah.
People still play. You still hear it. Frat parties or whatever. Louie Louie's kind of part of it. They still play it every the seventh inning stretch of every Mariners game.
Yeah, you hear it all the time.
That's a terrible choice.
But it was helped along by the movie Animal House. Of course, it kind of made it
absolutely
iconic. Speaking of icons, were you guys fans of the $6 Million Man growing up? Steve Austin, The Man Barely Alive?
I was, actually.
The Bionic Man?
We Could Rebuild Him?
Loved that show. There's been talks for some time about a reboot. The $6 billion... God bless
you.
The $6 billion man. And apparently now it is officially in the works. Deadline.com reports that Mark Wahlberg will play Colonel Steve Austin. The Man Barely Alive. You all right?
She's clapping.
I know you do.
Because he's a masshole?
Is that why? Huge masshole.
Look at me. I'm bionic. My arms and legs are really powerful. I can lift things really heavy. I can run really far. Yeah, looking forward to that movie.
Isn't he your son, though, Ralph?
He is my son. I have to be nice to him. He is my son.
I feel like the role matters a lot in his acting career.
My one eye's been replaced. I can see really far. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's the movie we want to watch.
He is great in some things.
He is great in some things.
Right. Yeah. Got to be the right move.
And you can have your Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao event.
What are you taking?
My one to see Mini Pretty Boy Money and Mini Pac-Man.
I'm sorry?
I don't know if you've seen the fight in the MGM Grand Lobby on Monday, but there was a stare down between two little people replicas of Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. Oh,
that's fantastic.
Mini Pretty Boy and Mini Pac-Man, as they're known. They had a stare down in the lobby, and they are going to be fighting on Saturday night at Beecher's Madhouse in Vegas. So that's the fight I want to watch.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yep.
That sounds awesome.
Mini Money and Mini Pac.
I'd pay $99 for that.
I'd pay $99,000 for that fight. Put that one on my pay-per-view. Whatever with the other. At least I know Mini Floyd will mix it up.
That's true.
He'll get hit and hit.
That is true.
Mini Pac will probably not be singing karaoke. So already it's better. Today's celebrity birthday is Megan Boone. Best FBI agent ever.
That's true.
32 years old today. That's right. Uma Thurman is 45. Michelle Pfeiffer celebrates her 57th birthday today. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Hack.
Drink your milkshake. He's 58 years old today. Kate Mulgrew. She was Captain Janeway on Star Trek Voyager.
Okay.
The only female captain. 60 years old today. Jerry Seinfeld, 61. And Willie Nelson's 82 years old today. If he's not dead.
You probably would have heard of it.
You think?
Yeah, I would guess that news would get out.
More than Jack Willie Eli Spine. Of the Kingsman? I think Jack Eli's
sure, Bean. Bean was upset. Right? Willie's fine.
He's fine.
Don't just you talk sure. about
I'm
him.
We may not have heard because Jack Eli the Kingsman's death may have overshadowed Willie Nelson.
Oh, could be. I see. Could be.
So the Willie Nelson coverage got lost.
That's right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There's another great band playing the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015 Panic at the Disco Saturday, May 16th at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Go to KROQ.com. Make sure you're signed up to buy those tickets when they go on sale Friday at noon. It's going to be a fun day.
You know the viral video hit from last year, which is the I'm Not Gay Guy? I'm Not Gay No More, I think is how he says it.
He went to a very spirited Christian revival, if I remember correctly. It's been a while since I've seen the video. But wasn't he one of the guys, like, you go up on stage and some people get out of wheelchairs and they start walking.
Yes.
And some people, their back has been hurting their whole life, and now all of a sudden they're healed because of the power of Jesus. But this guy started liking girls that night, right?
Well, he certainly did testify to that in front of the entire congregation. And what I am happy with is that it seems like we never get to follow up with these people. You know, to get a hold of them later and actually ask them what went on. Well, this guy was in an unfortunate froyo incident. He was at a frozen yogurt shop. This guy, the same guy.
Yeah.
And all we see is the security footage, but it looks like the money kind of flies out of his hand, kind of like he's throwing it at her. And then she picks up the frozen yogurt and throws it at his face.
That is what unfortunate.
What does this have to do with his conversion to heterosexuality? I'm confused.
You know him from his conversion to heterosexuality, and then this incident just happened. So Jimmy Kimmel had him on to interview him. This is the original tape of the guy when he was at the, in front of the preacher, in front of the crowd, and he was telling people that he was no longer going to be gay.
Do you believe that the Lord tonight has set you free?
Yes, sir.
Turn around and tell those people. I'm not gay no more. I am delivered. I don't like men no more. I said I like women. Women, 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 women. I said women. I'm not gay. I would not date a man. I would not tear a purse. I would not put on makeup. I will love a woman.
Now,
I will love a woman.
He's got a lot of issues.
He does.
Where did the purse and the makeup part of it come from?
I'm not positive.
What does that have to do
but
with
it? But I feel really bad for this dude because I don't know him personally, but I mean, really, there's never been anyone more gay. So for him, just the way he acted.
He should own it.
So I'm saying that they made him feel bad. Now he's in a viral video, and he sort of has to stick with the story. It's all pretty sad. But Jimmy had him on because of the Froyo incident, and he asked him about that particular time when he was healed.
I went for prayer,
and
when I went for prayer, I'm like, you know what? I need to say something because the preacher was talking about men bleeding from their butts.
All right. Now, the preacher talks about men bleeding from butts, that seems unfair.
That's seems like a weird preacher.
It's a weird service.
Like, how did that come
weird
up
homily
in
right
your
there.
Sermon? How do you work that in?
That's in Deuteronomy, obviously, Allie. Everybody knows that.
What?
In 86, God would put a muscle. I'm like, you know what? I'm not gay, Lord. And I said, I will not wear a purse. I will love a woman.
Yeah. First of all, I know a lot of gay men, and none of them carry a purse. But secondly, are you currently, do you have a woman? Is there a Mrs. Caldwell in your life?
There soon will be.
Oh, there soon will be.
There soon will be. All right. Mm-hmm. So now Jimmy turns and starts asking him about the unfortunate Froyo incident.
The cashier tells me she had never seen the viral video. Police arrived at the Froyo moments later. Stephanie was left with a court date for third-degree assault. Andrew was left with a face full of frozen yogurt.
Wow.
Now, it's important that she hasn't seen the viral video because okay. he claims that she was using the F word for gay at him because she recognized him from the video. That's why she threw the yogurt. So then they continue.
Walk us through what happened on this terrible day at the Froyo store.
So I got me some frozen ice cream, and she looked at me and said, oh, my God, that's that guy from the video. And when I got the Reese's to kick at, she said, F-. And I'm like, excuse me? And I'm like, to myself, did she just call me a F-? And then she started speaking Spanish. When I asked, I said, I need to speak to a manager because you just called me a F-. And she said, oh, I am the manager. And I said, well, I need to speak to somebody else, dog. So, yeah, I called her a dog.
Can I see, did you mean dog, like Snoop Dogg, like what up dog, or you meant it?
Like Snoop Dogg.
I see. All
right. So that happened, and then Jimmy talks about the cashier who he also tried to interview.
Now, we asked the cashier who threw the yogurt to join us tonight, but her employer said she's not allowed to speak to the press anymore, but this is what she told the news.
No, that is not true because I'm gay. Anybody here that I work with knows I'm gay.
Now, that is a twist. That is a frozen yogurt twist right there, isn't it? It turns out that she says she too is, or she is gay. I shouldn't say too because I know you're not gay no more. Are you gay no more?
I'm not gay no more.
Are you not gay no more? Okay.
Still.
I am delivered.
Are you going to sue the store?
Yes, I am.
How much do you think you should get for something like this?
Couple million.
Couple million. Very reasonable. Couple million. So the update is still not gay no more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And got the yogurt in the face and suing for a couple million. And Jimmy, by the way, and you've seen Jimmy do this, Bean, he is now fully invested in making that guy a part of his life for the rest of time.
As well he should be, by the way. That guy is awesome.
He is awesome.
So let me go back to the original ceremony, because I don't remember this video very well. So he was talking about the preacher was bringing up butt bleeding in this service. Is that what gave him the idea to convert? I mean, is that why
That's what he made it sound like, yeah.
Wow.
Like he heard that and he went, wow, I don't want that, so I need to. But then he got up in front of the, you know, the church and he was, you know.
Boy, do I love women.
Yes. And does he have a woman yet? Not yet, but he will.
Soon.
He will soon.
You guys know how I feel about English Bulldogs. They're the greatest dogs in the whole wide world. I love them so much. So when I saw a link to a story over the weekend with this headline, a couple hundred Bulldogs got together for an insanely cute party, I thought, give me some of that.
Ugh.
And then I clicked on it.
Before we get to your
What's
clicking
with
on
the
it.
Ugh?
It wasn't an ugh, it was an ugh.
Yeah,
What's
it was
with
more
the ugh?
It's just people who seek out the cute animal videos and stories, and they have the little cute avatar pictures of their little animals and everything. There's damage there. There's some damage there that needs to be fixed.
We talked about Dave the King of Mexico, who follows many pets on Instagram.
Yes.
And
there's
by pets.
Damage there, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I would think so.
I think it's possible to enjoy a breed of dog and enjoy seeing photos of that breed of dog.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything damaging about that. I think Dave is
dogs
definitely
a little
damaged
too much, quite frankly, if you ask me.
All right, so what upset you?
what upset me was that my what I thought was going to be a joyous few minutes scrolling through pictures of a couple of hundred bulldogs at an insanely cute party turned to rage when I realized that this is a North Carolina thing that they do once a year. It's called the Bully K Festival, and it is a costume contest for dogs.
See, this is what you get. This is the slippery slope. You start with the, oh, cute little party. Then you end up putting clothes on dogs. That's what happens. You deserve what you got.
Now, Bean, you strike me, and I've seen pictures in the past, as a dog dresser. You have dressed dogs.
I've seen birthday hats on your dogs, haven't I?
That's what I'm saying. Have you?
I am 100% not a birthday dog dresser.
Were
100%
you?
Or bulldog. No, never. Never, ever, ever have I been down with
dogs. Have your dogs ever worn hats?
You'll have to talk to Mrs. Baxter about that because, yes, she thinks it's adorable. And it is, I mean, look, there's a lot of reasons why we're divorcing, but this has got to be near the top of the list because it has been a battle. The struggle is real, you guys.
Yes.
But here's my whole thing. I love dogs, okay? And I don't think dogs enjoy wearing outfits. So the reason I speak up for the animals is because the animal doesn't have a say in it.
Right.
The animal, I don't think, likes it. Am
Good
I wrong?
You. No, you're not wrong.
No, in this particular case, I think you're right.
This is one rare instance where Bean and I, especially in reference to animals, absolutely agree that this is unconscionable.
Why do people do it then? People who claim to love their pets. I mean, the people who are obviously very involved, very active in their pets' lives. Why do they force a costume on an animal then? Why do
so
they think
cute.
It's okay?
Because they look so cute is the answer.
Yeah.
That's the actual
it's
answer.
Pure
That's an unacceptable answer.
It's pure selfishness. It is.
Yeah.
It is just people using animals for their own entertainment without any regard for the animal whatsoever.
1-800-520-1067.
And the first person who calls in says, but my dog loves it. When I put on the costumes, his little tail starts. I'm coming to your house, so feel free to call.
Well, I'm not sure that you would have threatened them.
Come on.
When we
call,
say call.
I dare you.
Now, assistant producer Christine just IM'd me that the dogs love it. Ask her in the office if she's kidding, if she's just making it funny,
serious.
Or does she really think the dogs enjoy being dressed up?
She's serious.
Get her in here. Get your ass
then
in
get
here.
Get her in here.
Christine, on your
seriously.
Last day of work, come into the office.
Because I am telling you, there is no dog that wants to wear a hat. There is no dog that wants to wear a tie,
right.
A sweater,
Have
a
Have you seen
vest,
them, how they shake their heads
shoes?
To get stuff off of them when you put stuff on them?
Yeah.
That's them saying, this blows, human. You're a bad thing
Stop
to do
doing
that
this to me.
To me.
So 1-800-520-1067, if you would like to present the alternate opinion, if you believe dogs love being dressed up, we do want to hear from you. Christine, you were kidding, though, with this. They love it, right?
No, they totally love it.
Oh,
you kidding
my
me?
God.
Have you ever seen I know you guys don't dress up your dogs, but
right.
I have friends who do, mm-hmm. and especially the ones who get the accessories and stuff, I think they really enjoy those.
Like a monocle?
Okay,
like
wait.
Bows. And
but who enjoys those? The pets enjoy those?
Or
the owners?
I truly
because
believe the pets do.
To me,
how
it's 100% the owner. The owner loves it, not
the
pet.
How can you truly believe the pet likes it?
I think because sometimes they're useful, like a sweater.
Don't
if they're cold.
Give a sweater for cold. We want to talk about you put costumes
we're talking
on
about
your
costumes.
Pets. Even
Look,
sweaters for cold is 50-50. So.
They do have fur, you know. That's a pretty good defense against the blustery, wintry nights of Los Angeles when it dips down to 60.
All right, so let's leave that out of it. Let's talk about people who dress them up.
Like a pit bull in a tutu.
Correct.
Yes.
Well, I think it's no different than if you have an infant or like a small baby.
You know what the difference would be? One's a baby, which
and?
Is a person, and people wear clothes.
And by the way, Christine, before you go on, I would like to argue that I agree with you. There are similarities, and I don't think 8-month-old little girls want to have ribbon wrapped around their foreheads either. I think that's
exactly.
something the parents are doing just because they think it's cute, and I think they're every bit as wrong as the bulldog owners are in this case.
No, dog owners are wronger.
Yeah,
because
true.
There's some correlation between humans, no matter what age or size, and clothing. There's no correlation between animals and clothing.
But
never.
I don't
want to
get off on a tangent
ever.
Here. But the little pink ribbon wrapped around a forehead on an 8-month-old doesn't make any sense.
Let's leave that out, too, because we need to focus here. We need to focus.
Okay. All right, Christine,
Listen.
Why do you think dogs like it?
Can I say real quick? I did a segment, and it was during Christmas, and they dressed up a goat as a reindeer.
Uh-huh.
So it had on
how
leg
cute
warmers.
Is that?
It had on
that's
little reindeer antlers. Warmers. It was adorable.
Right, but the question is not did you find it cute or adorable?
That goat,
it is
that
can that animal possibly have enjoyed that?
That goat tweeted that he did.
I mean,
that goat tweeted. Well, the goat tweeted that he did, and that's one thing.
I don't think okay, if your animal is acting like this thing is causing it discomfort,
right?
Sure, I totally get that. But if it doesn't, and I think they feed off of your reaction, so
you only are nice to them when they're wearing costumes.
That's the only way you can love your dog.
Get away from me, dog. You don't have a costume.
You're naked. I hate you. You will not be loved until you wear a baseball cap
and a monocle.
You're sunglasses. You will wear sunglasses and a bow tie.
You're indecent. You're naked. No,
Get out, you're fired. Get out, you're fired.
Man. Yeah.
I'm sorry you are fired, though. There's no coming back.
Here's what we're saying.
Stop it.
Can we talk to Allison just real quick before the break? She's on line one. She apparently calling from Los Angeles. And if what's up on the screen is to be believed, she dresses up her dogs for beauty contests.
Yeah,
Allison,
guys.
Why do you dislike your pet so much?
No. I can't have children. So first of all, there's a lot of health benefits to owning a dog. You guys know that.
Okay, yes.
We all have dogs, every one of us.
No one's talking about owning a dog.
But we're pro dog here.
Right, yes. And I don't always dress her up. She has been in the Long Beach Hot Dog, HAUTE, parade, which they have every Halloween, and they just had the Miss Bulldog Beauty Contest. Now, my dog was dressed up as a diva.
Oh my God, your dog is so myth. That's the worst day of the year for that dog.
Or does the dog look forward to it? Circles it on its calendar.
She loves it.
She did. And she was at they had a kissing booth where she sat in the kissing booth.
Oh my God.
And it's for charity. You pay $1. You get
to kiss the dog?
And no, my dog kisses you. However, she refused to kiss one 12-year-old boy. And I'm, no comment, but it was a 12-year-old
boy.
But
the kid deserved not getting kissed? Is that
I
what you're saying?
So.
Yeah,
right.
He's a sociopath, probably.
We're all 12-year-old boys.
Yeah, well.
Except for Allie, of course.
Yeah.
And Allie, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
12-year-old
boys.
Allison.
Well, then you're smarter than I am, Allie, because I have no idea what Allison's talking about, except she's cuckoo.
They enjoy it. If they don't like it, they'll make a fuss. But most
all right. If they make a fuss, you go, hey, stop it. We're in a pageant.
Well, what was the diva?
Hold on,
costume?
I want to hear her answer.
They're used to it. If you've started dressing them, young
right,
enough.
They suffer in silence is what they do, Allison.
And
that's
I'm
what happens.
Yes, they just give up.
It's not everyday dressing. It is a once in it's twice a year. Maybe.
Too many times.
Two times too many.
They love it, you guys.
They don't love it,
Allison.
Yes.
Stop it.
Is that what we're saying?
That's aggressive.
Allison needs to leave the gate open on her fence. That's what she needs to do. Let that dog have a clear shot out of there.
I have an 11-year-old English bulldog who I've had since she was 8 weeks. So, and you know what their lifespans are. So I'm doing something right.
He's hanging on with love. Looking
all right, Allison.
Doing good work, Allison. Keep it up.
It's staying alive long enough just to plot his revenge.
Stop
it.
All right.
1-800-520-1067.
I don't feel like we made progress with her.
No. Got a lot of Allisons on the line, though.
The minute
we'll talk
she started
to
with, I can't have children, I was out. I was out of the conversation because that's when I know the problems are so deep-seated we can't possibly solve them.
All right, you dress up your dogs. We'll
talking about dressing up your pets and how your pet should be taken away from you if you insist on making him or her wear a costume. That's the official position of the Kevin and Bean Show. Christina, you hang on. We're going to get to you first down in Corona in just 1 second. But, Ralph, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
From PetMD, here's a list of the top 10 reasons to dress up your pet. You wear clothes, so your pet wants to, too. Does your pet want to follow you around, sit on the couch when you sit on the couch, go outside when he sees you head into the door? If the answer is yes, it's safe to say that anything you do, your pet will want to do as well, and we think that includes dressing up.
That's the most insane logic I've ever heard.
That's from PetMD?
Because a pet wants to be near you doesn't mean it wants to live its life like
right.
you.
No!
I had a root canal once. Should I have taken Tater Tot with me? Clothes can show off your pet's personality. People use clothes to show off their personality. Why shouldn't your pet, whether he's tough, flirtatious, smart, or sassy, have him dress the part?
I'd just like to point out something that I probably shouldn't have to, and that's that pets and humans are not identical.
Oh, Kevin.
What?
Pets are people.
That's weird.
All right. Let's talk to Christina. Let's see what's going on in her damaged mind. Hi, Christina. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding.
Guys.
And thank you for being on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No, thank you for having me. I have a two-year-old niece. I have a two-year-old dog. Every holiday, I dress up my dog. I try to anyway, but you can tell she hates it.
Okay,
then why do you do it?
Because, you know, the niece, for example, is the first kid in our family. And, oh, Goo Goo Gaga, I love this kid. I'm like, what about my dog? She looks cute, and she does.
So you are dressing up your dog so that your family...
with a child?
What?
Yeah, it's like her baby, but she hates it.
And so you know she hates it.
I took a picture and take it off.
Does
it count? Well, I mean, yeah, it's tortured for a shorter amount of time, but how much do you need that photo?
She's a baby.
She's not a baby. It's a dog.
Sorry, fur baby.
It's not a fur baby. It's not a fur. It's not any kind of baby. It's an animal.
Look, you can love that dog as much as you want, but what doesn't make sense to me is if you love that dog so much, why would you want to do something that the dog would not enjoy?
Didn't know it the first three times.
Okay, but do you know it now?
Know it the first three times.
Well, guys, she's getting a lot of likes on Instagram for putting her dog through it, so that's worth it, right?
Stop
it.
You're a bad person, Christina. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and say, wow, I'm looking at a bad person.
Thank you, Christina.
I appreciate the call. Let's go to Kylie in Los Angeles. By the way, this one seems to be heavily female. At least those that are willing to admit they dress up their pets seems to be a lot of ladies on the line. Hi, Kylie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We are good.
So I have two cats and I have two dogs. Borderline cat lady at 27. Mm-hmm. But I'm not crazy enough to think that my animals don't like to be dressed up.
Okay.
I dress them up. I know they hate it, but I kind of look at it like as part of their job. Like,
what are you talking about?
Wait, I need to hear this. How you rationalize this?
Go back. Give her some room, please. Give Kylie some room because I'm going to be here all day.
Give us some more explanation about how it's the dog's job.
Okay. I go to work. I make money. I don't enjoy it all the time, but it's my job. Mm-hmm. I pay for their vet bills, hundreds of dollars, food, you know, treats, activities, you know. I know they hate it.
So they owe you?
They kind of owe it to me. You know?
I think what she just described was unconditional love. You know? And that's what dogs and cats are. They're unconditional love. So put on those tutus.
Clearly, you have been damaged somehow, some way, along the way, psychologically.
Actually, Kylie is the healthiest position I've ever heard on this thing.
Because at least she understands that it's nonsense and they don't like it.
And she knows they don't like it. She goes, you know what? I don't care. I'm a person. They're animals and I rule the planet. And they're going to do what I want.
What
it's like
else
that.
Do they do all day? That's
like right.
Anything all day.
This is the best possible position for a wrong
position.
This is
the zoo/circus mentality of I'm a human being. I will do whatever I damn well please to animals.
I pay for that dog. All right, Kylie. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Do we want to talk to Justin, the one guy on the phone who had dressing up his pet backfire on him, maybe? He's calling us from Van Nuys.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, good morning, boys.
Only dude. I just want to say only dude. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I never agree with Bean, and I got to agree with Bean on this one.
Right, me too.
My wife, we have a little chihuahua-type dog, and we have a big boxer, and they're both very friendly. My boxer is the awesomest dog, and my wife likes to dress them up in a Christmas card and take pictures, and she thinks they really like it, and I tell them they hate it. And I said, you know, she says, they're so cute, and they love it. Well, I can tell you that the dogs hate it. Last night, my wife, who is a fantastic person, decided to put my boxer, 65-pound dog, in a zip-up hoodie.
Last night.
Uh-huh. And so my kids are saying, Daddy, you got to come see this. Look at the dog. And he comes running through, and he's kind of tiptoeing, and he's trying to get out of it. I say, what are you doing?
Trying to shake it off?
Yeah, he's trying to get, you know, shake it off of him. And my wife says, this is so cute. So I try and help the dog, who's very friendly, wouldn't hurt anybody. As I go to unzip the sweater, he's so freaked out that he bites me. So I can tell you right now, dogs do not want to be dressed up.
Or did he bite you because he's like, I want this on. Why are you taking this off
me?
Allie, you're gonna need to get out as well.
Yeah, you and Christine.
You go join wherever Christine went. You go.
Thank you, Justin.
I don't feel like we're making progress.
These people are beyond our help.
What about this? A listener, Ann, writes in and wants to know, how about bandanas on dogs? I say no as well. I say there's no reason for a dog to wear a bandana. That's not a costume, but it's also completely unnecessary.
A bandana
right?
is sort of collar-esque, and I do believe in collars, so at least that's not that far off the beam.
And they love Poison.
Wow.
The band. Yeah.
How do you feel about that being the last joke you ever got to make on this show, Allie?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Is the mayor here yet? Has he arrived?
I don't know. I wasn't in the other room.
The mayor?
Ralph?
Mayor?
Eddie Izzard?
Eddie Izzard.
Is he the mayor?
He's not the mayor. He's
going to be. He's running for mayor of London.
Oh,
in a couple
London
of
Town.
Years.
Yes. I see. Yeah.
Just, well, I'm just getting used to, you know, calling him by his official name. But I just wondered if he's arrived yet, because I'm very excited he's going to be joining us coming up after the top of the hour, we think. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. Kevin Amico, what's going on?
Come on now. Here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of love,
right,
is what we'll be bringing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make you happy.
That's Bean's death tuba.
That's my touching tribute for little Tracy Partridge.
Have I ever showed you a picture of my dead dad?
No.
Oh, you've got to see it. He's super dead.
Sorry, didn't know that it had a dad on it.
What
the hell was that?
I thought that was just going to be a dead-related drop. I didn't know it had a dad on it.
Dead-related drop.
Well, here's the thing. Find out what you're playing before you play it. How about that for
poorly.
A concept?
This is. I think this is the one I wanted.
She's dead, Jim.
Well, that was good, high quality. You know, those episodes are available on DVD now. You don't have to try to pull the audio from a Betamax tape any longer.
He's super dead.
I've never been more furious with you than I am right now. And that's saying something.
I apologize.
Suzanne Crowe, who played Tracy Partridge on the TV series The Partridge Family, passed away.
Am I a bad human if I never watched that show?
Oh,
I
didn't you never watched The Partridge
no.
Family?
I was Team Brady.
Ugh, Kevin.
I don't... I don't feel like I missed out.
Although of all the Partridges, Tracy was the lesser Partridge.
Yeah, she is the most expendable, certainly.
Well, let's not put it that partridge. Way. She did just pass away at her home in Laughlin, Nevada. She was just 52 years old. She leaves behind two daughters.
Yeah, what happened there? How did she die so young, Ralph? Do we know?
They don't know.
Okay.
If they do know, they haven't said in any of the stories that I've read. But she was a Partridge. She was Tracy. She played the tambourine. So... once again, not an integral member of the Partridge
you can
family.
Do in a band, you can do without the tambourine. Thing.
But she was part of the family. They had a play. They had to give her something. She was a little girl. What do you want to give a little girl? What are you going to do? What are you going to make her work the pole? What do you want from her, Kevin?
I don't watch the show, so.
She's dead, Jim.
How about a little spring cleaning over there in the old audio vault, Bean? Maybe go through some stuff.
He does have way too many.
Cut some stuff that you will or should never play again.
I think it's possible that one could be upgraded.
No, I think it sounds great.
Good death metal version of that line.
Thomas Edison would be happy to know someone's still using the wax cylinder to play audio.
In my defense, I literally have had that clip since before there were home computers.
Right, so.
but
time has passed, right? But
yes,
things have been upgraded. We've moved forward.
I agree.
Do you shave with the same razor that you've shaved with back in 1978?
I think it may be time to clean that up, and I agree with you.
Dead. While we're talking death, how about Jack Eli? Lead singer of a little band I like to call the Kingsmen. Here's the death tuba.
Sure enough.
The Kingsmen gave us a little song back in 1963 that still lives on today. And go.
Wheel no, in the sky keeps on turning.
That's not the song.
What?
Yep. That cost $36 to record in 1963 at a rent-it-yourself studio in Portland, Oregon.
And it's 100 times better than Bean's last drop.
That's right. It's amazing.
Now, Kevin, you got to hate that song because it's old, right?
I don't care about it.
It's a good drinking song. You can drink to that song.
Sure.
Jack Eli was...
Can you drink to any song, though, really?
Yes, but you can't really enjoy it. Like, it just makes you want to just guzzle beer when you hear that song.
Because it's bad.
Jack was a founding member of the Kingsmen and then left the band right after that single was released.
Okay.
So he had a short-lived career with the Kingsmen, but look at the impression he left behind.
Right.
passed away at the age of 71 this week. So there's your celebrity death update.
Do we know if the girl in the Partridge Family ever enjoyed the song Louie Louie?
She's not dumb.
I don't know.
Deftones, new Deftones album. September 25th.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
I don't know. Just planning random songs now?
Yeah.
There's no title yet, but Chino told BBC Radio that he's recording the vocals now at his home studio in Oregon. And as for the tunes, he said, if something sounded a little straight, we took a left turn and made things a little screwy. We just tried something completely opposite, not to sabotage it, but to challenge ourselves and try new things that we haven't done in the past. So you hear some new sounds from Deftones on their new album coming out in September.
I feel like it'd be really easy to fall into a rut if you're a musician, and it would
especially with a very definable sort of distinctive sound and genre.
And it works.
Yeah,
once it works,
and your fans love it. Yeah. You know, how do you, if you're Jimmy Buffett, how do you stop doing sort of?
Well, if you're Jimmy Buffett, you don't. You just sing that song.
But I'm saying
that's it. They're not Jimmy Buffett.
But all of his songs sound like that song, and so a lot of guys do that. They just keep repeating sort of the same thing over and over and over again. But I think, I don't know why I chose Jimmy Buffett.
I'm not sure either.
But I'm saying,
it's a wonderful reference.
I give credit to artists who go outside their comfort zone. Like Mumford and Son.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
They had a very
good.
Distinctive,
yes.
Identifiable sound, and now they're going off and doing some other kind of music now.
They're doing this.
That is not new Mumford and Sons. Today's celebrity birthdays. Megan Boone. Best damn FBI agent in the bureau. She's 32 years old today. Uma Thurman.
She's on the blacklist for folks who don't recognize
yes,
the actress's
she
name. And she's the worst FBI
she's
agent
the best.
In the history of television.
Elizabeth Keen is the best FBI agent that the bureau's ever had.
This is her first year, and she's solving a lot of crimes.
She is taking down more big names
in
domestic and international terrorism than any agent previous to her.
I hope she chokes on the fulcrum and dies.
Oh.
You're an evil person, and we do not want you watching Blacklist.
You're not allowed to watch anymore. Uma Thurman is 45 years old today. Michelle Pfeiffer celebrates her 57th birthday. Daniel Day-Lewis. Boy, he's a good actor.
How many has he won? Three Oscars, I want to say. Is it possible it's three now?
Yes, I think it is. I think it's possible. Incredible. 58 years old. Kate Mulgrew from Orange is the New Black, 60 years old today. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld is 61. Seinfeld, by the way, the sitcom just sold to Hulu for $180 million for the rights to show that on the interwebs.
That is a crazy big number.
That's crazy big. How much money do you think that series has made in toto since its first airing? Because I think the syndication deal went for half a billion dollars or something like that. So, craziness. And legendary singer-songwriter Willie Nelson celebrates his 82nd birthday today. You know, I'm not a bitch. Not dead.
He's not dead.
You know, I'm not a big country fan,
right?
Of the country music, but that Willie Nelson, man, he's damn good.
He sure is.
He sure is good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Remember the good old looting days, guys, from April 29th, 1992.
Sure. The riots.
23 years ago today. There you go. There's Sublime on K-Rock. Look who's here. It's Eddie Izzard back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, Eddie?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good, it is a pleasure to see you, sir. Eddie, of course, is always kind enough to stop by when he's in town, and he's going to be here this summer at the Hollywood Bowl. Tickets are on sale now for your show Saturday, June 6th at the Bowl. So you, I assume, had a great time last time you played that venue. Excited to go back.
Well, absolutely. I noticed that no stand-up had played the Hollywood Bowl on their own ever, so I sort of ran in and sort of grabbed that record. I go around grabbing records. That's what I did. So, and I do say, I had a bit of a texting thing with Jerry Seinfeld, because it would be great if he played there, if any other stand-ups played there. It's just such a beautiful place. The Greeks got it right. It's a Greek amphitheater. It goes up the hill. The audience goes up the hill, and the laughter rolls down the hill.
Is it difficult to do that venue just because people are farther away, or
no,
it takes a while?
It's easy peasy lemon squeezy. It really is. It just works. I mean, they've got big screens. We have expert sound now. They put delays in the sound as it goes back so that it goes with the sound wave. If you remember the old days, there used to be this echoing effect in big places. They've got rid of all that because the sound guys are so high-powered, the vision guys are so high-powered. So you just play it like a small gig, and it really works. I've played flat places, and sometimes the laughter sort of goes up into the sky.
Interesting.
And we've had to mic the audience, put it back onto the stage so you can actually get a sense of where the audience is with you. But the bowl, it doesn't matter because the laughter just rolls down the hill.
So you don't have to take a beat to hear the laugh. It's coming right at you.
It's coming right at you. But also, if you're right at the back, which I think Hollywood Bowl, those are the best seats. Bizarrely, amazing. People say, well, surely you've got to be down the front. But at the back, you get the whole of the hill. You get
I like
the whole
your impression of Americans, by the way.
Yes, I know. That was actually a Spanish person. I don't know, but you know, people with deeper voices down the front. And I don't know. If you go, because you can go to Hollywood Bowl in the middle of the day. It's a county park, and it's open, and you can go and have your people go and have sandwiches.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I never knew that.
Is that true? I don't know if it is definitely a county park. It is definitely a city park or county park, and you can. You can definitely go in there. I don't know whether you're supposed to definitely go in there, but it's completely
open. But you can go in anywhere if you're not supposed to.
No. But you know, like the places you can't go in, you'd have to break the door open and say,
right.
Like a theater would be locked up. There is no bar, there's no gates. As you drive in, it's got a thing saying don't park here, but then you just go around it. Anyway, I don't know. Apparently, I've heard this from people.
So just tell them Eddie is
a troublemaker.
No, I'm not saying do, but it's a beautiful park. It's a beautiful thing, and it should be enjoyed. And if the city and the administration, if it's owned by the city or by the county, by LA, then people should enjoy it and have their sandwiches and look at it. And because you can sit places, and people do this. So I don't think I'm wrong in saying it. I'm wrong. Okay, but you know you should be able to do it because it is. I think it was an existing park before it was turned into the actual.
You can get the tickets at EddieIzzard.com or Ticketmaster.com. Again, that date is June 6th at the Hollywood Bowl for the return performance from Eddie Izzard doing the Force Majeure comedy show. Now, please tell me you're doing this one in English, though, for us.
Oh, this is totally in English. I should say if people haven't seen things at Hollywood Bowl, you could actually sit there and just read out the telephone book. It's that beautiful a space.
Yeah, it's super nice. Yeah.
It is. It's just great. You could just sit there and have your own party. Because you can actually buy food and bring your food along, and there's a whole picnic thing, and everyone knows about this in LA, and that's beautiful. So if someone was up there going, Adams, Aardvark, you know, just reading through the telephone book, which don't exist anymore.
You don't do that, though, do you?
No, I don't. I'm slightly more complex than that. Slightly more surreal and out there and weird. But this is, I have now played 27 countries on the Force Majeure tour. So
27 countries?
27, which is a comedy world record. I go around again claiming records.
I claim them until
someone says, actually, no. There's
of those 27 countries, are there any that you won't go back to?
No, it all works. I'm touring France in the French language. I'm touring Germany. I came up with a piece in German about Martin Luther because he was the priest who was against the Catholic faith. Well, he was a Catholic priest, and he said, hold on, it's all gone wrong. It's all about money. Whereas now the Catholic faith, of course, is fine. And so that was back in the day. I think that's 1500, somewhere up there. And he wrote 95 treatises against the Catholic faith. This is all in Google. You can look this up. And he nailed it to a door in a church. It's a famous thing he did in Wittenberg. There's a church door, and he nailed. Because it's 95, I was just thinking, how long are these treatises? Is it one big batch? Did he staple them all together and do it once? Or was he going against number two, number three, number four? So I came up with this idea of nailing them one by one, and then a big wind comes. He's going, no, my tears. So it's all kind of simple German. And I thought I've created this in German, so I think I can now do this in English, which is beautiful because it means that we're all laughing at the same stuff. The kids in Berlin and the kids in LA and the kids in Cape Town and Istanbul and Moscow, they all laugh at the same stuff. That is the news from the front, which nobody knows except me because I've been to all these countries.
Eddie, you know what's amazing to me about you is that no one else does the material that you do. You never have to worry, did I hear that joke from somebody else? Because you are doing something from such a unique perspective.
Yes, like Martin Luther
stuff. You didn't steal that, the Martin Luther chug from Larry the Cable Guy. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, someone's saying to me, you do that shtick about Martin, because people use that bit or shtick. I always push back on that and say, no, it is a piece. It is a scene. Whereas you do that bit, you do that rubbish, you do that shtick. I hate the word shtick. It just sounds like it's something you crank out, like a hack, you know, and they say, if you're trying to attack a journalist, you say he's a hack journalist, and shtick sounds like that, but I say, no, it's a piece, but if you're doing that shtick about Martin Luther and those Catholics back in the 1500s, everyone's done that, such a well-worn thing.
I was fascinated to see you were on stage someplace last summer, and somebody asked you about your early days of being a comedian, and you were very frank with the audience that night, and you talked about how you were not naturally gifted to be a comedian, that you basically pulled yourself up to where you are today and just had to work really hard to get to this point. Which was, because I look at a guy like you and I think of a Robin Williams and I think of a lot of people that are just naturally hilarious people. But it sounds like you were saying that you weren't always a very funny person and you managed to figure out a way to develop it.
Yeah, I wasn't. I loved comedy. I just thought comedy was brilliant. The whole family, good sense of humor down from my dad and my brother and me. But I made a group laugh. I made the school laugh once when I was 12, and that was the first laugh I remember hearing.
And that was it.
And after that, well, it sat in my head, but I was trying to be an actor at this point. I just wanted to be a dramatic actor. That's the thing. Blah, 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 blah. And then I wasn't getting any roles at school, and then I realized that comedy people, Monty Python, I discovered, you could write your own stuff. Personal nepotism, I call it. Write the thing, give yourself a big lead part. And so I started heading towards that, and then when I was about 16, 17, in chemistry lessons of all thing, I started really honing my ability to make people laugh in order to impress the girls who would return.
In chemistry class.
Yes, in chemistry. They had a teacher called Dr. Edmondson, and he'd write on the board at this speed, he'd go, so we take the sodium chloride and he said we put it in a bag. No, not in a bag. On your head. No, you put it in a test tube, don't we? In a test tube. And it's called Jeremy. No, it's not called Jeremy. No. So I kept throwing them in. I thought his timing, because later on when I did mathematics at university, bizarrely, the guy wrote so fast, he said, you can't do anything with this. And I couldn't shout anything out of that. And it was all theorems and it was all...
I'm guessing that professor didn't like you.
No,
or did he?
He didn't. He threw a lot of things at me, chalk mainly. chalk and desks and stuff.
Because a guy like that teaches that slow and is that kind of cerebral, he doesn't enjoy comedy, I wouldn't...
No, but I did think, if I keep doing this, I can hone my hit rate. So it went from one out of five jokes up to about, one in every two jokes.
This is so interesting to me, because you didn't consider yourself a funny person, but you thought, if I work at it hard enough, I like somebody going, I've never played tennis before, but I bet I'd be really good with it if I practiced 4 hours a day. Well, and then they go out and they put in the time and they are good.
Yeah, I was trying to impress girls, you see, because the girls had disappeared from my school for 3 years and then they returned and there was only one girl to every 20 boys. And
that's a rough number, right?
She must have been exhausted.
Yes, it was not good. And if you were great at sports, that was great. But I went to a school that didn't play soccer, my game, football. Uh-huh. The boarding schools, the posh schools of UK, they don't play football, which is insanity. It's like your main national sport that we're supposed to have invented in its modern form, and we don't even play it. And we played rugby and field hockey and then cricket, which is, in cricket, and often the Americans go, what's cricket? Well, it's like baseball, but slowed down even more.
It's not possible.
Yes. So, that was all. It was all a thing to get people to go, hey, you exist. Yes. Oh, wow, you're funny. It was a social tool I developed it as. And then I thought, maybe I could do this for real. And I decided I'd just go like a laser. But then I was 30 before it took off. So I'm relentless. I'm a relentless idiot.
So the age between, what were you in chemistry class? 17?
That was about 16, 17.
16, 17. So, yeah. And 30.
Yes. Wilderness year.
That's a long time. How do you stick with that?
Churchill had his wilderness years, which was in the middle of his life, later in his life, and I had mine right up front. and it just taught me tenacity, because I was doing an accounting degree as well, so I dumped the accounting degree because I thought that would be beaten over my head, specifically by my stepmother, who had said, you've got an accounting degree, you must get a job as an accountant. So I didn't want to do that, so I dropped out, like Steve Jobs, like Bill Gates, drop out at 19, that's a cool thing. I didn't realize they'd done that, but I just did it, and later on they gave me an honorary doctorate at the university, so that's the way to do it,
because you don't have to study.
I didn't have to do that.
Eddie Izzard is here on the Cabot Beach Show. The Force Majeure World Tour hits America. Big tour, by the way, starting in Fargo, North Dakota, of all places, in May, but it's coming here on June 6th at the Hollywood Bowl. Tickets are available right now for that great show at eddieizzard.com or ticketmaster.com. More with our guest right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Eddie Izzard in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, comedian and actor. In fact, the last time I think we had you in, Eddie, was when you were talking about Powers, your series, which is available on PlayStation right now.
Absolutely.
Episode 1. And you're coming back to Hannibal this summer. I think those episodes fire up again, June, something like that?
I think they do. And I'm in one episode there because my character's not in a great place at the moment in that very dark series. But I've just done a Jenji Cohen and new series pilot for HBO, which is called The Devil You Know, about the time before leading up to The Witches of Salem trials, Salem witch trials, I should say.
And when is that coming out? You know?
Well, that's they're editing at the moment. Genji's working on it at the moment. It was Gus Van Sant directed it, so it's an amazing thing to be in. Fantastic cast, but it's a pilot, and HBO have to decide if it goes to series. But it's a dark stuff, but great HBO, you know.
I would love to see a printout of how your mind is able to compartmentalize all the different kinds of things you do, because you've got the acting part of it over here, and you've got the comedy part of it over here, and it seems like increasingly you're involved even more than you have been in politics. I saw quite a few videos of you in the past few weeks.
Yes.
On the street, basically going door-to-door campaigning for the Labour Party to get votes, right?
Absolutely. 56 constituencies I just did. I just finished to come out here to LA to talk about the Hollywood Bowl gig. And then I'm going to flip back and I'll be back campaigning next week. So, yes, that is kind of crazy. But I'm doing an Al Franken in 5 years' time. I'm going for Mayor of London or Member of Parliament.
I feel like politics would be so frustrating just because...
It could be, but it could be the...
And there's a lot of hate. It doesn't matter what side you pick, people hate you.
You get a lot of hate.
So that's frustrating.
But then I've taken quite a bit of hate coming out as transgender 30 years ago. I got a lot of hate in the street. So I've learned to deflect that by when they hate it, I just say, and a Merry Christmas to you too. and because I did used to actually shout back. People would shout disgusting things at me, and so I would shout equally disgusting things back, and so it would be just standing in the street shouting and you don't listen to what they're saying. You're not saying, oh really, oh, this is a very good one, that you're
just, you know, parroting them.
You're just talking over the top of them with your swear words. And then I actually thought, this doesn't get anywhere. So when they started shouting, I started shouting, and a Merry Christmas, what a wonderful day, that's a very good point, yes, lovely weather we're having. And then that makes
it
like
it
makes a bizarre, yeah. It's into a bizarre thing that's going on. But I haven't had that for some time. You just occasionally get people who are...
What's it been like for you this month, though? How has your celebrity affected negatively or positively your ability to get a message across? Because some people are going to discount you automatically because they've seen you on TV, right?
But I have been a member of the Labour Party since 1995. I've campaigned since 2008 in different elections. So they do know. I've been talking about the European Union. I'm touring France in French. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I'm touring Germany in German language. I believe we've got to work to live and work together in some shape or form. This is the logical way we have to head forward. So I've tried to be very logical and articulate about where I'm standing on things, and I've said that I'm running, and so I get more latitude on that. But even if I can just bring younger people get more involved in politics, even because, you know, young people are constantly disengaged with politics. If I can bring any attention to that and more people vote, then I think that's...
And cool. Your goal is to be the mayor?
Mayor or member of parliament. I don't mind. I just need to know how the machine works, because it is a massive organism, a massive infrastructure. How does it work? In American style, in British style, how do those work? The French style. There are all these different styles. Some have better ideas. Oh, that's a good idea. Can we not do that? Like you have turning right on the red lights in traffic. We don't do that almost at all, I think, in Europe. And I wonder
you need
why.
You need to bring that to Europe.
We
need to bring roundabouts to America, because that's an awesome thing.
Roundabouts. Now, you have some of them in LA, but people go up to them.
Very
and then
few.
Confused by them.
Stop dead.
They do the stop sign. It's the stop sign that you don't need. We have a dotted line at the front, so that if there's no traffic, you can actually just move through. And they're beautiful because they cost no money. They make all the take all the decision making out of the process. You can. It's so good. It's one of the greatest inventions in traffic control ever. There's no electricity for the lights.
I agree. And let me also add the other thing that you have in Britain that I wish we had in America. It was you have a yellow light before the green, which is brilliant too. We don't have that in
America.
Oh
yes, no, that's true. You just go straight into it.
We have a yellow light before the red, right? But the yellow light before the green is great because it gets people off their phones and thinking about stepping on the gas when the light changes.
Yeah, we do it both ways. I like the number counting down thing. That's nice. Whoever came out, you've got that. We've got that a bit now. But there's all these ideas. But anyway, no one really travels around the world and just takes all the ideas in and is in a position to say put them into action. And I'm not in that position, and I probably won't be in that position as soon as I get elected. But at least I can make the conversation and say, who is in charge of this? There's a thing, they turn right on red light.
Eddie, let's assume, if you were mayor of London, you might find yourself in a situation like the mayor of Baltimore is in this week.
Yep.
Are you prepared to be the guy who handles a crisis like that or
Absolutely.
A riot situation?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that. I heard, is it a woman who's the mayor of Baltimore? And I heard her on the radio. We had riots in London. Boris Johnson was mayor at the time. And things can go, you know, you could get... terrorism problems. You can get a load of different problems that happen. But absolutely,
do we want Eddie Izzard to be the guy on the other end of the phone if a subway blows up in Britain?
Yes,
I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
I can't answer that question for you, but
because I know I have dealt with a lot of... who has to make those decisions.
No, I've dealt with a lot of tricky. I mean, I've had people give me a lot of aggression in the streets, and I deal with it. I was a street performer for 4 years. I've had very odd people come up to me and do things on the street, you know. But I tend to front it out. I tend to talk it out. I tend to try and talk people down off an aggressive stance into a more relaxed stance. So it's, I would trust myself in the situation. If you wouldn't, then no one's seen me in action. So it's all a bit of conjecture. So
last question about politics. Yeah. People a lot of times don't use logic. They use emotion.
Yes.
How?
Well, yes. Again, this is something that runs through my mind.
So you've got to be not knee-jerk. You come at them logically, and
yes,
it doesn't matter.
You had a terrorism bomb that went off, and the whole building came down. Remember that one? It was an American guy who did it. Everyone thought it was terrorism from
Oklahoma City.
Yeah, Oklahoma City. And everyone immediately knee-jerk thing is it's obviously got to be Islamic people. Blah 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 blah. And it wasn't. You have to wait and find out what's going on. Don't do knee-jerk reactions. Try and calm everything down. Try and secure everything. If it's a situation that's really extreme, you have to use the police.
When you become a politician, will you use your comedy? Will you try to lighten things?
Well, it is an attack weapon. Comedy is a lightning technique, and it's also an attack weapon. Saying people use it for the other team, saying I think we should do this, I think we should do that, but the other team, they're idiots, they're going to do it. You know? So that's how it's used. It's not a building weapon. Comedy is not a building ability. You know, it's an attacking thing for tearing down or puncturing pomposity and stuff like that. You've got to actually be good at systems, inventing systems, coming up with better systems, communicating that, and also analysis. You need to be able to analyze and say that is good, but that is not good. That's not working. That is working. You need to have these senses, and they're not the basis of what a comedy person has. But I've developed those over the years.
Eddie, I don't doubt for a second your sincerity that you want to be a mayor to help the people of Britain and to make the system run better. I sincerely believe you when you say that. I don't think most politicians get into government for that reason, though. I think most of them are doing it because they want the power. Do you agree?
I have said that I think two-thirds of people in my country, in the United Kingdom, are trying to do a good job. I base this on a gut thing. But ego definitely comes into it. You can't actually run a thing without having a certain healthy ego saying, come on, guys, we're going to go in this direction. Power can be an aphrodisiac. I think Kissinger said that. So I'm not quite sure. I know that I can sort of say I'm not going into this for red carpet and going to things and being driven around in cars because I've got that now.
You already have that.
You're already rich.
You're already famous.
Yeah, I'm not going for any of those reasons. I'm just going in to see if I can do something positive. And I'm sure day one, the opposing teams to me will say, it's not positive. The fact you exist is not positive. So I'm just going to have to do that kind of fighting.
But at that point, you just come back to the Hollywood Bowl.
Yes. Well, then, once I leave politics, I'll come back. Because Arnold Schwarzenegger went in and then came out.
He did.
So,
how many mayors have that as a fallback? Well, if this doesn't work out, I'll just go play the bowl. Awesome.
Well, yes.
The Force Majeure World Tour is coming to the Hollywood Bowl on June 6th, by the way. You can get your tickets at eddieizzard.com or at Ticketmaster. Tickets start as low as $29, by the way, to see the great Eddie Izzard, the multiple Emmy winner Eddie Izzard on stage at the Hollywood Bowl. It's always so much fun when we get a chance to spend some time with you, sir. Thanks so much for coming in.
Great to be here again.
Adam Carolla joins us just after the top of the hour on K-Rock. Rob's got the Showbiz Beat coming up, too. But first, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that meet your view. And life's so hard that you'll start spewing Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Hey! Hey, producer Dave Comics. Oh, nope. How are you, buddy?
No, the wrong time?
Yeah.
Not a hey moment.
Oh, hey, buddy. Dave puts the videos together. You can find them at Carrick.com or KevinBean.com. All the best viral videos of the week. I don't see the last 5 seconds of the Clippers game up on the roundup for today. What's up with that, Dave?
See, that's how Bean rolls right there.
Why? All right. This first video is labeled not safe for work. Not because of language, not because of nudity, but because it is the most terrifying mother effing thing you'll ever see. This is somebody with a GoPro camera on Mount Everest when the earthquake happens in Nepal and an avalanche overtakes the base camp.
You can get an idea of what the terror is like just by listening to this, but you got to go to KROQ.com and watch this thing. Here it is.
The ground is shaking. Come under my jacket. Come under my jacket. Are you okay?
Yeah.
That is real. That is not a movie. Kevin, have you seen
this
terrifying.
Video? Yeah, I have seen this
the
video.
The wall of snow coming at them is just unbelievable.
When he says the ground is shaking, it sort of makes me laugh because he's sort of not sure what's going on. But then, man, when it hits, you go, holy crap.
And this isn't like watching a snowball come down.
Right.
This is like the entire sky fills up with snow at one time. I mean, it is astonishing how powerful it is.
He does use the F word about 15 times in a row, which all of us. Which I believe all of us would do.
Exactly. This next video, Dave, I can't believe you put it in there. It's called Buzz and the Dandelions. Explain what's going on.
Best.
In this one. I hate it so much.
This guy who's a member of the band McFly, him and his son are out on a hike, and he shows him a dandelion, and he blows off all the little leaves off of it, and the kid just starts giggling. It's the cutest thing in the world.
And how old do you reckon this kid is?
I don't know.
Two?
Not even way
younger.
One
and a half, something like that?
Way younger, like 2 months?
Yeah.
You know, I hate the sound of laughing children more than anything in the world. So, but if you're not like me, you will love listening to the delight this kid takes in watching dandelions fall apart.
Okay, Buzz, you ready?
Oh.
Can you not love that?
That's pure joy.
What kind of evil human being are you?
I want an avalanche to land on that kid. That's what I want.
You are the devil, sir.
Game of Thrones is back. These are the recaps. Who puts these up, Dave? Who does
Funny or Die?
Funny or Die. And they have the guy who is recapping every episode as it passes on HBO on Game of Thrones. And this time in the chair getting a haircut at the time is our friend Tim Simons, who plays Jonah on Veep. And they're talking about the episode called Black Market.
So Christina Aguilera had to go up in there and show a bitch who was boss. So she beheads bald Bruno Mars. And then all the slaves start hissing like I did when Beck beat out Beyonce for Album of the Year.
I actually didn't hear either of those albums. Was one of them better?
Well, obviously Beyonce was better and she got screwed.
What were some of the songs on it?
Drunken Love. That had Jay-Z on it. That was fire.
That was fire?
It was fire. Fire, okay?
Fire, okay?
It's fire, okay?
It's fire, okay?
What's happening?
Yeah, Jonathan's teaching him how to be gay. It's funny.
funny. Speaking of Tim Simons' show, Veep, the zinger queen on that show is Sue, who I think is the president's assistant?
Personal secretary?
Yeah, personal secretary, yeah.
And this is a supercut of all the ways that she puts down everybody that she interacts with on the show, and it's great.
Jennifer, quite frankly, I had more windows in my first apartment than the VP currently has in her schedule.
What is going on between you two?
You and a telephone.
Hey, sweet cakes, I need to get in to see the Veep.
Congressman, if you call me that again, you'll need to see a paramedic. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm not sure why I just said that.
Sue is awesome, by the way. So many great characters on that
show. Yeah, all of them. You can do a supercut from pretty much every character.
Yep.
And get gold.
Yep. Real Sports is the show with Greg Gumbel on HBO, and they did a taped piece with Chris Rock that I think is outstanding. He's talking about why black people don't play, watch, or like baseball, and he makes some pretty good points.
Back then, almost 20% of all major leaguers were African American, and I could actually have conversations with other black people about baseball. Hey, what's up, man? You see the game last night? Yeah, it was great. Now, if I say to a black person, did you see the Met game last night? They'll say, what the f*** is a Met?
Sesame Street is back. They seem to do a lot of these viral videos for adults. These aren't meant for kids, but this one is a parody of the Avengers Age of Ultron movie, except they made it all about vegetables. This is called the Aveggies, the Age of Bon Bon.
Onion Man, where are you?
I got Bon Bon chocolate chip on my tail coming your way. Dr. Brownie, are you ready to eat it?
Yeah, yeah. Me ready to turn green, get big, and eat giant chocolate chip, Onion Man.
I'll protect you with my shield.
Oh, that good plan, Captain America Cauliflower.
Jeez.
Right? And finally, on this edition of the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, our friend Jimmy Kimmel is back with Lie Witness News. I don't know what it is that makes people want to lie on TV.
You don't want to look stupid, I think.
He managed to convince people, Kevin, that earthquakes are scheduled. All right? That earthquakes are planned and that you get advance warning on when an earthquake will hit. And nobody would say to him, you're full of crap, that's not true. Listen to these people in Lie Witness News.
Last time there was a scheduled earthquake, obviously the USGS sent out a tweet warning everybody.
Yes, I remember that.
Where were you when you got your tweet?
I was in San Francisco, obviously on my iPhone 6 Plus when I got the tweet. And you know what? I was scared. So you know what? I'm done with the earthquake scene.
All right.
The earthquake scene.
She's done with the scene.
And by the way, not just one person. They were able to find a lot of people who were able to believe that earthquakes are scheduled. You can see all those videos and so much more at KevinAndBean.com or KREC.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet.
Kevin and Bean Internet.
106.7 KROC is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
How about that Eddie Izzard, Ralph?
He's an impressive dude.
Sure is.
I couldn't feel dumber, I'll tell you that. Always enjoy talking to him. Always walk away feeling bad about myself.
Yeah, he's better.
He's better.
But you know what he's amazing at is that he's way more intelligent than us, but doesn't use it against you. He doesn't try to make you feel dumb. He doesn't. He certainly could. Sure doesn't.
He's a benign genius.
Yeah.
He's kind to the lesser folk.
Yeah.
A lot of fun having him.
Must be good for you, Kevin.
It is.
Because usually you just get beat up by smart people. And now there's a smart person who's just taking it easy on you.
He at least tolerates me.
He just pats you on the head.
That's right.
Because you're like a microorganism.
I don't think we need to
keep going down that road. Evolved being.
But I'm saying he doesn't treat
me like
that.
He's looking at you through a microscope and he sees you swimming around on his glass slide. He's like, oh, look at that little creature.
But he never says
those words. That little microbial creature that I pulled from this swamp.
All right, I think we
get
it. And
he is just a single-celled organism, and here I am, this giant evolved being.
Right, but he doesn't revel in it.
I'm going to be nice to that dumb man.
All right, take it easy.
That's like me. Like, I'm like that, too.
You're cutting us a break, are you?
Yeah.
You're like that to me?
Yeah, I think I like to think I'm benign and I treat you kindly. And I never
is that what you like to think?
Never try to make fun of your lesser moments.
You never do that.
We have a moment with Kevin.
Nope.
Can throw up.
We do not.
Just any moment with Kevin.
Time for the showbiz beat. Now here's Ralph.
I'm just in the mood now. Now you got me in the mood. All that talk about it.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
We also have a woman who marries a carnival. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break and we will come back with the showbiz. You know.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Before I get to the show, I got some stuff to give away. Like, how would you like to spend some time with Beer Mug?
I'm not positive that's how to sell it.
Okay. How would you like to see the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight?
There you go.
It's K-Rock Fight Night at the Bike. This Saturday at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. If you are 21 years of age or older, you can get a pair of VIP passes to join Beer Mug and the K-Rock promo crew for Mayweather versus Pacquiao.
Yeah!
As Beer Mug
would
say. Yes. And it's all happening at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. For more information about the hotel and casino, you can go to thebike.com. And if you'd like to win, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. You've got to be 21 years of age or older, but the first two callers through with that phone number, we'll get a pair of VIP passes to join Beer Mug and the gang for Fight Night at the Bike.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Thank you.
Let me ask you one more quick question. When you train for a fight and you know who you're fighting, do you do a lot of research on other guys' strong points or weak points? Does that go to help you towards the main fight?
That is something.
Look, I have to have somebody that makes me feel smart.
Yeah.
So, that's his role.
A new phenomenon in Japan right now, the hot new trend, is something called silver porn.
Silver porn?
Yeah, any idea, Kevin, what silver porn might be?
No.
Female porn stars over the age of 65.
Nope.
The new phenomenon.
Nope.
Wow, that must be like a horror movie for you, Kevin. You can't possibly imagine anyone over the age of 65 having sex.
Sounds terrible.
Sister's got it going on.
Yeah. They like it in Japan. blocks over porn classics like Two Girls, One Bedpan.
Come on.
Other popular films.
Come on now.
Debbie Does Metamucil.
There's a lot of them.
What's going on? Sam Smith had to cancel his tour of Australia. He posted on Instagram yesterday that after he arrived in Sydney, doctors discovered a small hemorrhage on his vocal cords.
Oh, wow.
That's bad. Until they have healed, he has to rest and certainly can't sing, so all four dates on his Australian tour had to be scrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Sam has an Asian tour due to start on May the 7th in Tokyo. No word yet on whether that will be postponed or not.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Sam Smith does not have a wooden hand. So looks like Mark Wahlberg is going to play Steve Austin, the $6 million man, in the reboot of that franchise. The series was originally on ABC, starred Lee Majors as Steve Austin. This will be a film reboot entitled The $6 Billion Man because, you know, inflation.
Sure. Yeah, you can't get anything for $6 million anymore.
No, you could get a bionic penis for that. He's got to have his whole body done. Whoa, pots of me a metal now. It looks like I have a flesh arm, but actually it's a bionic arm. It's going to be a great
penis
movie. What happened to Robert Durst? Remember the guy? The guy who killed everybody? And then HBO shot him and brought him to justice or something? I can't remember exactly what happened.
He was arrested in
Atlanta. Yeah, he was arrested.
Yeah, I know, but what's going on? We haven't heard anything.
I don't know.
Well, that's why I'm bringing
I think he was arrested for the murder, but I don't think we're probably that close to a trial yet.
Well, listener Maverick Hill wrote in and asked all about that. He said, what's going on with Robert Durst? He was in the news everywhere. Now it doesn't seem like I've heard any follow-up. Maybe you guys can help me out. Well, obviously, we can, Maverick. He said, I was fascinated by the show on HBO, especially when he walked into that bathroom with his microphone on and pretty much confessed to the crime. I guess one thing we've learned from Robert Durst, don't leave your mic hot like Robbie.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Don't leave mic hot like a Robbie. Don't leave your mic hot like that, Robbie. Don't leave your mic hot like that, Robbie.
File.
Thank you, Maverick Hill, for writing that. File. That's a great name, by the way, if that's your real name.
Maverick Hill.
Maverick Hill, P.I. Maverick Hill, P.I.
Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom, Maverick Hill, P.I. Excuse me. Today's celebrity birthdays. Megan Boone. Elizabeth Keene on the Blacklist, of course. Boy, she's just great.
I love that show.
She's 32 years old. Uma Thurman's 45. Michelle Pfeiffer's 57. Daniel Day-Lewis turns 58.
Hold, please.
I drink your milkshake.
That's right, Rodney.
That's Rodney doing that.
No.
Yep.
I drink your milkshake.
Mm-hmm. No.
They're from There Will Be Blood. The great Rodney Day-Lewis.
I drink your milkshake.
I drink your milkshake.
I drink your milkshake.
Remember Doto?
Yep, I think sure. We had everybody do
I
that.
I drink your milkshake.
For a while, that was a very popular slogan and line from that movie people were saying. They were quoting it everywhere. Kate Mulgrew is 60 years old today. Jerry Seinfeld turns 61. And Willie Nelson turns 82 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's a funny story. We need to tell
it's
that story.
Real good.
Hey, let's talk to our good friend Adam Carolla, who you can see May 6th on stage at the Irvine Improv with the very funny Kira Sultanovich, who's a very funny comedian that we just had on our show last week. You can buy tickets at adamcarolla.com. Just $25 right now. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, man.
I just want to say, I've been, for whatever reason, I've had a little more time than usual to spend with the podcast. You have been great, and one day I want you to come on, especially if you end up making this Ferrari documentary that you're talking about. One day I want you to come on and tell our listeners how many dudes that guy killed while he was getting those Ferraris up and running in the early days.
Yeah, they were going to bring Ferrari in Italy up on manslaughter charges. The
wow.
country wanted to charge its greatest icon for manslaughter because he killed so many guys.
Adam was telling the story about all these people who were test driving and starting to race the early Ferraris. And, I mean, there were like dozens of them that died while they were doing this. Right, Adam?
That's all they did. That's how they did it. That's before, those guys, the whole idea was you didn't want to wear a seatbelt because the car was going to catch on fire when you crash
right.
and you wanted to be thrown.
Okay.
Free of the wreckage.
But then somebody had to try that out.
Four times, yeah.
Well, wow. It was just a fascinating story the way you told it, and I hope that that's your next movie. Don't forget, Adam's current documentary is called Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman. You can pre-order that film at adamcarolla.com. He joins us once a week for a feature we like to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week in Rage.
Well, starting at 3 and working my way on up to number 1, first off, tragedy in Baltimore. The real tragedy is that a lot of discussion on SportsCenter about what are we going to do with this baseball game? How are we going to make up this baseball game? We're going to play the baseball game with no fans. We're going to shut down the baseball game, the Orioles game, and then we'll make it up. First off, I hope there's someone from Major League Baseball listening. You play 161 games. You don't need to make anything up. Right now, the Orioles, who are playing the White Sox, they are 9-10, and the White Sox are 8-9. Just a game under 500.
So,
at the end of the season, when you're both 500 and no one gives a crap, you'll be one game less than that. Who gives a crap?
Yes. Well, I mean, I think the fear is, what Major League Baseball's fear is it's going to come down to that last day of the season and somebody's going to be a half a game in front of somebody else for making the playoffs, and this game will end up mattering.
Well, I'll tell you what. If and when that never happens, then we'll make the game up. But we wait to the end of the season when you're both 33 games under 500, and then we won't have to make up the boring game.
I'm with Adam on that one.
It counts less than 1%.
Just let it go.
Yeah. All right. Diane Sawyer talking to Bruce Jenner, who, by the way, I enjoyed the bejesus out of this. The thing I enjoyed the most is Diane Sawyer's talking to a guy, he's getting his schvanz cut off. He's dressing in taffeta and dancing around town. He's doing the whole nine yards. She's taking the whole thing in stride. And then at a certain point, he says, I'm a Republican. And she goes, what? Come again? Dan, you've been talking to guys cutting his junk off and tossing it in the garbage disposal for 91 minutes. And then he says he's conservative and you freak out on him?
Yes, that did happen. That's absolutely accurate. She was shocked.
She was shocked. She was not ready for this curveball from the world's greatest athlete that's cutting his junk off and hitting with a fungo bat so people take infield with his nutsack. All right, that was the confusing part. The other part, I thought, wouldn't it be fun to be a gender reassignment surgeon? When the guy came in, you know, first consultation, you'd sit him down and explain to him this is a very lengthy and difficult procedure. It could go up to 12 to 13 hours. You've seen them go as long as 16 hours because it's a very intricate, involved surgery. And then you ask the guy to disrobe, and when you see his junk, you go, oh, we'll be done before lunch. Wouldn't that just be a fun running joke? You know
so
what I mean?
Just want to play with your patients.
Yeah, yeah, right. A little levity to the situation. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have you out of here. By the way, you'll be sleeping in your own bed tonight. This is no big deal. And then you yell to your assistant, like, Marge, we can schedule a few more for that date, too. Just a little junk humor. And number one, I don't know if you guys heard the story or saw the story, but we finally come around. As a city, we finally jumped the shark. You know, I told everyone in Los Angeles, the day we started putting the razor wire around the freeway signs is the day we needed to take a hard look in the mirror as a city. This is basically like an alcoholic or junkie breaking the kid's piggy bank and taking all the change and looking up and seeing themselves in the mirror. That's a rock bottom moment.
Right. Sure.
I think we've completely bottomed out now. Somebody has tagged a cop's horse.
That's what? Right.
Somebody graffitied. I saw it. Someone tweeted me the news link. Somebody has graffitied a cop's horse. And here's what I'm saying to the fair citizens of Los Angeles. The person who should be in charge of cleaning up the cop's ass or the horse's ass is the mayor. Garcetti has to clean that horse symbolically. He's got to sit there and clean the gangbanger scribble off the back of the horse's ass, and we need him the entire time to be thinking about what this means. Meaning, I don't need a clean cop horse. Mayor, you got to do it, and I want you to think about what is going on in your city that somebody tagged not only an animal, we're tagging livestock now, nature. It's a cop's horse.
Right.
That's where we are. That's where Los Angeles is.
So for the mayor, this would be his few minutes in the stocks back in the 1690s, right? He would just have to just be there in the town square and just be ridiculed and be held accountable for what he's done.
Do it at the Staples Center. We'll declare a national holiday. Everyone can have the day off. Everyone can come down there. But as far as Garcetti goes, I want him to think long and hard what this means. He is governing a city where horses are being tagged.
It is kind of sad, isn't it?
Yes.
Bean, that was real specific, though. 1690s.
Yeah, that was a strange.
I'm just saying roughly, whatever time, whatever they used to put people in stocks, et cetera,
that's a good
time. I'm just saying.
If Jimmy Kimmel were alive during that time period, and he was like, you know, the town, you know, blacksmith or something, and somebody was going to be in the stocks, how often would he walk by them and fart?
I don't know why you just thought of that, but all the time.
All the time, right?
Yeah.
He'd be in the middle of lunch or working on something, and he'd stand up and he'd go, sorry, I got to head down to the town square. I'll be back.
I got a captive audience.
The person and fart. It's the perfect fart-on position. You're bent over and you can't move for days.
I want to remember how we went, got here.
Started with the horse getting tagged.
How excited would Jimmy be just to find out that someone's going to be put in the stocks?
So you're saying in 1690, if Jimmy was alive, he would have loved that.
Oh, he would have been like, I'm going to eat some pinto beans and Pepsi, or whatever, you know, ale or gruel or whatever, you know, whatever we have back then. It's really going to get it going.
The AdamCarolla.com is where you want to go for the Adam Carolla Show live May 6th, coming up at the Irvine Improv with special guest Kira Sultanovich. And don't forget, you can also pre-order Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman, AdamCarolla.com. Ace Man, thanks for the time. We'll do it again soon, sir.
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
Then you heard Moto Bunny.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
They're playing coming up May 2nd.
Moto Bunny.
This week.
Rodney, you okay?
I think it's
Sunday,
Thursday.
Rodney.
No, it's
Friday.
Sunday.
Come on,
Friday
buddy.
Or Saturday.
Come on, buddy. Pull it out.
But it's May 2nd. And
pull up on that yoke.
The Juke Joint.
Pull up.
In Anaheim. So May 2nd. So that's probably Saturday or something.
Saturday.
God. But anyway, but I'll be back.
Okay, you'll be back. Thank you, Rodney. So May 2nd is probably Saturday.
Somebody get him a calendar.
Moto Buddy.
A friend.
Hey, Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the show, Ms. B. By the way, that's real, okay?
That happens on the radio.
This isn't us
live.
Like goofing around, like taking a bunch of tape,
I believe.
Editing it. Yeah,
if I didn't have to be here on Monday morning early,
listen,
I'd never miss an evening of Sunday Night Radio with Rodney Bingenheimer. I would be, I would do nothing else. I would just kick back.
Open a beer.
Pop myself a cold one and just put on those headphones and I would just disappear.
You were talking about your flight from Toronto being super late and the thing that kept you going.
I got in that car, man.
Yes,
I was driving.
Turned it on.
When I was driving home, I had just sweet, sweet Rodney in my ears. The
okay,
whole
before
Rodney,
that, yeah. We heard Dublon.
Dublon.
Doing.
What were they doing? What song there?
Black Flag.
Black Flag.
Okay. No, we heard Purple.
What?
Before. Perfect. Maria McKee doing Double Nickels, and then you heard Dublon, doing Black Plague.
All right.
Unfortunately, it wasn't about the band.
Oh.
It was pretty good. Anyway, I'll be back right after this.
Okay. Don't threaten me.
That's Love, featuring Arthur Lee, lead singer of Love.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't write that. Burt Bacharach wrote that song, but Arthur Lee wrote most of
birds. They like pigeons or something?
Anyway, that was My Little Red Book by Arthur Lee.
Alrighty.
And that was a song that Jim Morrison heard on the radio and goes, we got to sound like that.
Right.
And in fact, it was Arthur Lee.
Mm-hmm. We have to do showbiz.
Actually booked the Doors.
Arthur Lee did?
To open for them when Love headlined the Whiskey A Go-Go. And Arthur Lee brought the Doors to Elektra Records and got them signed.
Time for the showbiz. Okay. Here's Ralph Garman.
Can I say, maybe the people
will
be the times between Clark and Hilldale. That's the street off Sunset Boulevard where the Whiskey was. It's still there, but
well,
not the
same. Not really.
But
it's different.
I remember one time I had David Cassidy from the Partridge Family.
Right?
Okay.
And Bobby Gillespie of Primal Scream on my show. And we got a phone call from Arthur Lee. He called in
and we
spoke to him. And Bobby Gillespie was on acid.
Oh,
he was on kind of on LSD.
I feel like I'm on acid right now.
It blew Bobby Gillespie's mind, basically.
I'm glad you said
mine. His idol, Arthur Lee. When I was a kid, I was in the 4-H Club.
Okay, we don't have time for the 4-H Club.
I had these, like, classic pigeons.
You had pigeons?
So did Arthur Lee. He collected
pigeons. I knew he liked pigeons.
And we talked about all these, like, really rare pigeons.
Yes.
We had these, like...
The rarest.
They're called Russian fantail
The Russian
pigeons.
Fantails.
They look like little tiny miniature turkeys, but they were pigeons.
Well,
and Arthur had those, too.
Sure, they're not miniature
turkeys? We talked
turkeys?
About the old days, and we talked about how I was addicted to Diet Right Cola and sunflower seeds.
Yeah. All right. That's
first
crazy.
First came to Hollywood as a kid.
Oh.
So anyway, as Bobby Gillespie
gateway drug,
and
those sunflower seeds.
Talking and stuff, we somehow managed to get together with a band.
Rodney, we have to do the show.
Santa Barbara, called Citrus Groove.
So
Arthur Lee got together with Bobby Gillespie from Primal Scream and Citrus Groove and recorded this song,
one
of his songs, Arthur Lee's song, From Love,
coming up next.
Flash on You, and here it is.
All right.
We're not playing. We're not playing a song here. Well done.
And you guys got into the Hall of Fame, and that man is still waiting for the phone call.
It's ridiculous. He's still waiting tables, and we're in the freaking Hall of Fame. It's not fair.
I don't think he's waiting tables.
Whatever he's doing. I don't know what he's doing with his time.
I think he's on the radio, Bean.
He's not waiting
tables.
I think
he does a radio job.
Sorry.
I think he does go
to restaurants to eat.
He's a DJ on K-Rock.
So Rodney Bingham.
We've established that.
Laying in a bed in a VA hospital, and here we are.
He's
living it up in Las Vegas.
He's
getting all sorts of awards.
He's not in a VA hospital. He's not waiting tables. He does a radio show on K-Rock on Sunday nights.
Yay, 106.7 K-Rock.
That's right.
Carol Q.
Yes.
I'm out of here.
Okay. So am I. Barbershop 3!
And hopefully I'll get some sleep.
Okay. All right.
I doubt it. Never get sleep
never
where
get
I
sleep.
Live.
No, because
I'm
not
a
where
robot.
You're a robot.
But anyway,
what?
I'm
no
out
you don't
of
sleep.
Here. And hopefully everything will work out.
I hope everything works out.
Be
too.
Safe and sane on Halloween.
What are you talking about?
Remember, delete those apples with the razor blades.
April.
Don't eat the apples with the razor blades.
It's
a good
buddy,
tip,
boy.
I think.
April.
It's just not fair that he's in prison while we're on the outside.
Not
yucking it out.
Not prison, not a VA hospital, not waiting tables. Doing radio, Sunday nights. K-Rock 106.7.
Polysponic Spree.
Polysponic Spree, that can't be right.
The Polysponic Spree.
Oh, phonic, okay. Barbershop 3 in the works. Cedric the Entertainer. He sure loves barbers.
He sure does.
He's got Barber Battle on
Barber
show
Battle.
On CW, and now he's going to do Barbershop 3. Ice Cube's coming back. Nicki Minaj. Queen Latifah, star of Barbershop 2. Queen Latifah. How do I remember? How did I know that Queen Latifah was the star of Barbershop 2? I think I heard that someplace before, one time before I heard it someplace.
Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
That's where I knew. I knew it from there. Common has just joined the cast, so Common will be in the barbershop as well, too. Tom Bien.
Starting to sound like Rodney, right?
What's going on?
Common. I'm also going to be in the Barbershop 3 with Nicki Minaj, Cedric Entertainer, Ice Cubes. I put Ice Cubes in my Diet Right Cola.
Okay.
I used to be addicted to that back when I first came to Hollywood. No, sunflower seeds.
Right.
106.7 Carol Q.
Right.
That's Tattoo. Those two girls who wear the schoolgirl uniforms that kiss each other whenever they play.
Yep.
You know, they were on Late Night with Jimmy Kimborn.
Jimmy Kimborn.
He does have the best show.
It's the best late night.
He or she
show.
Is really good.
Jimmy Kimborn. Sad news.
Are you okay?
She's gonna blow a gasket. Partridge Family actress Suzanne Crawl has passed away. She was. Little Tracy Partridge, the little adorable redhead on that series many years ago. She played the tambourine in the Partridge Family Band. Just 52 years of age, she passed away this week. So
don't forget to rock the vote this Tuesday.
We're not
early.
It's not voting.
We're not voting.
We got to do something.
It's not that time of year either.
President. It's up to you and me and all of us.
We have to do
black
something.
President.
We have to do something
18
about a
to
president.
Vote. Shake some action. Mm-hmm. I hope you all get out there. Shake some action and rock the vote.
Right.
Just think, when I'm on next week, we'll have a new president, elected. I hope black, we really need something.
All right, take it easy.
Some action. Get
right,
the
shake
black
the action.
President.
Get the black
get
president.
Get out and vote okay. Tuesday. Start early
it's not the
and
election.
Go
it's
on
next year,
around 8 or 9 o'clock. And say goodnight. And next week,
okay.
We'll have a new black president.
All right. Wow. A lot of people don't know he's responsible for Obama being our president.
Courtney Stodden, remember Courtney Stodden, the 16-year-old who married the 50-year-old actor Doug Hutchinson?
Yes.
Sure.
Well, apparently she is expanding her career. She's making good on the promise that God gave her those boobs. You know, she doesn't have surgery. That's God-given. God gave her that body.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
She did an adult film, apparently, and she's been shopping this porn tape around, and her husband, on-again, off-again husband, Doug Hutchinson, is a big fan, apparently, of the film. It's the most unique footage I've ever seen, he said about her film.
What can that mean, by the way?
It's a solo film. Right? It's a solo film. It's just Courtney attending to her own needs.
This
I
is
can't
her with
imagine
a
how
blender
unique
or
it could be.
Or?
There yeah. must be. I can only imagine.
I hope it's a blender. I hope somehow she works a blender in.
I'm hoping a little guy sticks his head out and goes, "Hey, how's it going?" That would be awesome.
That would be
with
pretty
a cigar,
unique. That would
a cigar
be unique.
And a bowler hat. Like an old-timey hobo. There's like a little nub of a cigar with a pack on his back, like a bindle and a stick. Hey, how's it going? I'm squatting in here. I got no...
I like you so much better when you're naked.
I got no place else to go. It was this or a boxcar. I'm moving on down the line.
That would be unique.
That would be unique footage.
Really would.
I'm going to see that movie now.
I love it.
What's happening?
I just want to be free, man.
Right, man. Oh, what's happening?
Yeah, leather is so kinky.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Willie Nelson's 82 years old today. Willie,
he's the best.
Willie, Rodney, you must know Willie, don't you? Don't you know Willie?
I don't even know. What that is.
Oh, it's right. A person.
He's a singer-songwriter. He's 82. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld, 61.
Oh, no.
It's okay. It's okay. It's a good thing. He's celebrating his 61st birthday. Kate Mulgrew from Red. Nope, from Orange is the New Black. She plays Red on Orange is the New Black. She's 60.
And the whores.
Nope. Nope. They're just in prison. Rodney, Daniel Day-Lewis, fine actor, 58 years old.
I drink your milkshake.
That's right. He does that line from that movie. Michelle Pfeiffer's 57.
Tell that girl to shut up.
No, I won't. I think she's a lovely, talented actress. Uma Thurman's 45.
So fresh.
She is fresh. And lastly, one of my favorites from The Blacklist, Elizabeth Keen herself, Megan Boone, is 32.
Sweet.
Yes, she is sweet. He's Rodney. I'm Ralph. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Tomorrow morning at All-New Kevin and Bean Show, Allie...
Can someone check on Allie, please? Is she okay? I feel like we haven't heard from her in 10 minutes.
She can't speak. She's speechless.
Allie interviewed the entire cast of Avengers 2 Age of Ultron.
What the heck?
Not,
yeah.
No,
how about
really?
That?
That's not,
awesome. What a
not
get.
Really.
We have that
because
tomorrow.
We couldn't even get him on this show. Yeah,
every single cast
got
member.
Every one of
yes,
them?
Yes, she
no, I
did.
Think
that is great.
So we're going to hear that tomorrow. We also have Dennis Hoff from the Bunny Ranch. We have Jim Rome talking sports. Dr. Drew. Joe Levy from Billboard Magazine talking about streaming services and Tidal and how that's going with that back rage. Good sell.
That's back rage.
It's back rage.
We don't know. We can't wait to find out how that's going with that back rage.
I'm guessing I meant backlash.
I guess.
Yes, I do.
The K-Rock Showbiz Beat is brought to you by Score Big.